Which video game is this?
I don't know what this is. Hi, everybody. It's Bill and it's Wendy. And
it's Q-Bert.
You know how Steve's show and Ro's show are on CLTV? We're at the number one arcade in Tinley Park at the Bremerton Mall.
I'm fine with that.
I don't know where
what is the,
Kevin
what is
found
that?
That. I don't know what that is.
Coming soon to a Nickel City near you?
Yes. Are they in Northbrook? Nickel
yeah,
City, Northbrook?
They are, yeah.
Yeah.
There's also Galloping Ghost in Brookfield.
Oh, yeah.
I love this place. $15.
Yeah.
And you can play all you want.
Unlimited games.
Till like 2 in the... I think they're open till 1 in the morning. And you can leave as long as you hang on to your receipt. And you can leave and go get dinner come back.
That's not a bad deal.
Yeah, I would like to be there at about 12:52.
I have been.
I'm sure.
My husband's got... He will not leave until he beats the Q-Bert game.
Oh.
And I don't even remember what his score was, but he took a picture. He's like the top 4 scorers. I'm like, that's great, Jim.
Yeah, yeah. And pinball as well, or just video games?
Pinball.
Pinball too.
And the thing is, I love the classic ones. My favorite is Battle Zone. Do you remember that? You look through the little thing.
Oh, yeah, the scope, yeah.
Yeah, I love that.
Yep.
It's very often out of order. That one bugs me. And then Centipede.
Yeah.
Love it.
Those are fun.
Galaga and Galaxian,
mm-hmm.
Or is it Galaga?
I think it's Galaga.
Okay.
I'm pretty sure they have all those.
And then they have new games, too.
Oh, man.
It's really fun. I'm sorry. It's like we go there for Jim's birthday. That's what he wants.
That's
he wants to take
birthday.
All of us there, and then we go out for tacos and go back.
Oh, what's wrong with that? There's nothing wrong with that. That's a good birthday.
What, did you just want to clear your...
Kevin only... Kevin goes, I could add to this, or I could just clear my throat on the air. Let's see.
And then he says, sorry, that was me.
I double-tapped the button on accident. That's my mistake. Right.
Is that your little...
Right. I'm having a fun little impression on the start of the show today, though.
Is that your cue for us to move on?
Yeah, let's wrap it up, guys.
It makes me think of when I was a kid and I had a very emotional night last night. Dylan went to Future Freshman Night at high school, and I've got one possibly going away to college and one starting freshman.
Yep.
I was a ball of crybaby yesterday.
Well, it's understandable. Those are milestones.
Oh, my
Those
God.
Those are huge milestones. So at this day, at Future Freshman Day or Night, I don't know, what do they call it?
Night.
Future Freshman Night. So all they're doing is they're telling you, you should have this ready by now, you should have this ready in 6 weeks, you should have this ready in 3 months.
No, they told us just chill out and finish strong in eighth grade because that's what you want to do. That will help you.
Mm-hmm.
And they just kind of gave an overview, and then you could go meet with the various groups to mm-hmm. see what clubs you're into. And Dylan is interested in the zoology club. They had 2 massive tortoises, and he is a tortoise guy, and the TV station over there. And then meeting with the TV guy, it's like, I worked in film, and I worked in TV, and now I work at the high school I went to, and I'm going to teach you how to do every aspect of film.
Oh,
and Dylan wants
that.
To be a
That's
director.
Great.
Would it be weird if I enrolled in the class, too, and sat in the back
no,
of the room?
You could audit a class or two. What's wrong with that?
Would Dylan be embarrassed with
this?
Who's the old lady
minute?
In the back? I don't know her.
Mom!
I told you,
take a different hour.
I can't believe the clubs and organizations they have now in comparison to when we went to high school.
Yeah.
It was like
That's true.
Theater, choir, sports, student council. That's pretty much it.
There was like Spanish club, German club.
Well, I guess.
Our school had, because soccer wasn't a sport yet. I mean, soccer existed as a sport, but
there
it
wasn't
at the
team.
High school level. So there was a soccer club at our school. There was a photography club.
I guess we had all that, too.
Mathletes. I'm trying to remember what else there was.
But they have, like, kayaking, rock climbing, aviation.
Oh, wow.
Well, you know, there's an IHSA sport now, bass fishing.
Is that true?
To God, Steve, there was a little sign that said fishing club.
Right. No,
it should have said gone fishing.
It's a sport. It's like football. It's
do you just get points by catching fish and that's how it goes? Is that it?
I never understood
They measure
it.
Them?
Like you've never watched a fishing competition? Is that what you're telling me?
No, but you go to these landlocked suburban schools and they've got a bass team. It's just kind of, I mean.
What, do they fill up the pool with bass?
No, I think they probably go out to the forest preserve ponds or something. I don't know. But
my high school had a pond. We had a pond on site that you can go fishing in and like kayaking.
A fully stocked fishing pond.
So that's
wow.
Was there a pond club?
No. No.
But Friends of the Pond?
We had outdoor education. We would
grill
and you would hike. It was great. I loved it.
What high school?
Minooka.
That's advanced.
and rock climbing.
Well,
it's
like
Minooka.
That. Yeah, for y'all. Yeah, that's true.
What well, do you expect? They well, I mean, they're more out in the country.
Right, I guess so.
Not the country, really, but
right.
Used
that
to be
way.
The country.
But they didn't have, like, whittling or weed chewing or anything like that.
Careful.
All right, that's just rude.
That's just well, wait, disrespectful. Did they come...
You hurt my feelings, Bill. You
throat clearing? Do they have throat clearing?
I was the president.
Button pushing.
Well, I just think it's so cool to be a student nowadays.
Yeah.
I really do.
When Reese and Kylie started high school, they had a day. They have this huge gym, just gigantic. It's like it's almost like an indoor football field, the size of their gym at Evanston High School. So I went with it, and every group, and there were, like you said, it wasn't a handful of groups. It was 70 or 80
oh,
different clubs. All right, one of them was the Table Tennis Society. So, of course, you know, Kylie plays a little, Reese doesn't play at all. But as we pass by there, I say to the girls, because it's the kids from the team are there dressed in their table tennis whites.
They're the coolest kids.
They're by far the coolest kids at the school. So I go, you know what? Because they were inviting people to play a game with them. And I go, you know what? While you guys are looking at clubs, I'll play a game or two. And they both did this. Oh, no, you won't.
Yeah,
that's
you would have been there all
happen.
Night.
Well,
and you would have taken all the kids down.
That's what their fear was.
Would have been tear stains on those white smocks.
They said this is a scenario that we can't win at because either you'll beat a bunch of high school kids at table tennis
and brag
or
about
beat
it.
You,
yeah. Oh.
And then you'll go, well, you're not going to this school. We'll take you to a school with a different table tennis program. This is not going to happen.
I didn't see table tennis. You know, I guess what really sparked my emotions is, like I said, Michael's going to be graduating from LT this year and probably going away to school. Dylan's just going to be starting it next year. So as we're walking around the gym, I see Michael at WLTL showing the prospective freshman, oh, you could work at the radio station. And then he went and sang with Madrigal. So it's like I have both boys in there, but they're both going separate ways.
Right.
I'm a big bowl of mush today.
You'll be fine. You'll be fine.
Oh, it's just so emotional.
No, it's all right. All right, let's do this. We'll take a quick break. If you want to jump in, we invite you to. We're 312-981-7200. We'd love to hear from you. Just clear your throat when you're ready to tell us something. We'll know it's you. It's Bill and Wendy on WGN. It's us. It's Bill and Wendy at 312-981-7200 if you'd like to call us or text us. A couple people are saying by way of text that Illinois offers scholarships for fishing. I don't know for sure that that's true. But
I have got to
get
that
on
interesting? That for Dylan.
847 says, I belong to the detention club. Good for you. That's encouraging.
I wonder if it's much like the breakfast club.
It would have to be.
All right. Well, I was amazed at what every school now has to offer. I know LT High School offers quite a bit, and you said Evanston High School. I mean, when we were growing up, there were a handful of things, but not a full-blown,
it's
huge
amazing.
Gymnasium full of various
whatever
clubs.
You like. You pick it. Whatever you enjoy, they have a club for it now.
And we were kind of joking about fishing and a fishing club, but Jennifer, you're going to talk to us about this.
Hi, guys. You cracked me up.
Thank you.
Years ago, we kind of started it. I started talking with some other pros. I didn't start it, but once I heard about it, we started talking about, you know, how it can benefit and how they can learn more about ecology, things like that. And I was actually an assistant coach for one of the schools in Wilmette, and it was an all-girls school. So it was the all-girls, and we went to state that year, and so it was the coolest thing because no one can take that away from them.
No,
ever. They were the first all-girls bass fishing team in the world, and they went to state. It was the greatest thing ever.
And how does the scoring work? Is it just simply by how many fish you catch and the size of the fish? Is it just that simple?
It's the total weight of typically 5 fish.
Oh.
So you would bring them up to the scales. You keep them alive and you're alive well.
Yeah.
Then you bring them up to the scales and weigh all 5 of them, and that's your total weight.
And how many kids on the team?
You release them back into the lake, of course.
So how many girls are fishing at the same time?
That particular team, I think we had one boat out there and 2 girls on it.
So it's a boat, even. It's not like from the shores.
The regionals was at Skokie Lagoon, and it was just a blast. It was just so much fun. These kids have fun, and the state tournament. I think a couple of times has been down on Carlisle Lake, and that's a large lake. And you know, we get it's just tons of teams down there. It's just it's fantastic.
And it's bass like, only. There's no other fish alike. If somebody catches a perch, they don't lose points, do they?
No.
All right.
But they'll have a good lunch.
Yeah, I guess they would.
Well, awesome. Yeah. Thanks for opening our eyes to this, Jennifer.
Oh, yeah, you're welcome.
My high school in Dallas, as a texter, had a rodeo club. Every week they went to the Mesquite Rodeo to ride.
See, now that sounds...
That's awesome.
That sounds... If you're in a rodeo, what would be better than that? That'd be excellent.
Someone said Lake Central offers welding, mechanics, woodwork, hairstyling, nursing, police classes. It's crazy now. All kids don't even... College so great.
Yes.
Don't want college. Oh. Went to Nazareth Academy. We were always so jealous of the LT extracurricular offerings. We didn't even have a permanent theater yet. That was long ago.
But you see that a lot with high schools. Like even within your own district, some of the schools near us had incredible facilities to do all kinds of things, and then other schools just didn't. You know, it depended on where you live.
It's pretty exciting, but I get kind of weepy, and someone said, I'm a crybaby about our grandson going to college all the way to Wisconsin, and just so you know, he is in charge of the fishing club at Stevenson High School.
I had no idea there was such a thing.
I didn't either.
But here's why this is good. For a lot of kids who are starting high school, if they're disenfranchised and they're not athletes, right?
So, and I don't have either athletes. Either boy is not an athlete.
So you'll know this more than anybody. Athletics is the one thing that once kids get into high school almost propels them, whereas if you're not an athlete, you go, oh, well, what is there for me to do for the next 4 years? And now schools have figured that out, so that's a great thing.
Somebody actually texted and said when I went to high school, it was you had sports. The clubs with the two smart people was another one, and then detention.
Yeah.
I mean, there was student council and chess club and things like that.
Yeah.
But really, sports was pushed more than anything.
Oh, by far.
And if you weren't an athlete, what do you do?
Right.
Bill wants to chime in with his high school offerings. Hi, Bill.
Hey, how you doing? Boy, back when I was a kid, back in the 80s in St. John, Indiana, Lake Central High School, we had a TV station at our school that, you know, we broadcast the news and it, you know, went out in a small radius around the high school, but people could pick it up on their TV stations. And so you could get in the, and it was a club and you could get into it. And you could work the cameras or you could get, you know, you could do makeup. I mean, all aspects of it.
That's pretty cool.
That's excellent.
And it was pretty cool. But also it just popped in my head. We also had an indoor smoking lounge in our school for the students.
Oh, my God.
And they had it all designed with these cool couches and stuff like that.
I remember that, too.
Your school had a smoking lounge,
yeah.
Bertrand?
Yeah.
At our school, the only people who could smoke were the French Club. That was it.
We had to go out behind David Hasselhoff's cousin's house, which was right across the street.
Sure.
That's what our smoking lounge was.
Well, at some point they deemed it inappropriate to have it indoors, so they did move it outside. But and then they did something else with that space. But I remember it being decorated all very 70s, you know.
Blacklight posters, lava lamps.
Yeah, it was.
Cigarettes allowed, Bill, or other things?
It's what?
Only cigarettes, or did they allow other things at your cool, progressive school?
At the indoor one, it was only cigarettes. At the outdoor one, it became a little bit different.
Yeah.
And I think I remember them removing a couple of bricks and putting cameras in and catching people, and then the whole thing got shut down.
Oh, it got ruined. With the TV club, Bill, did any of those kids go on to a career in television that you know of?
I have absolutely no idea.
Don't know.
But I do remember that. We had a fundraiser and an auction, and I volunteered to be a runner, you know, like when somebody bid on something, you ran whatever back to their chair. And it was a pretty big deal. It was pretty well done. And I remember the people were, you know, that were on camera were, you know, dressed up nice and had their hair done and all that. So, yeah, it was pretty interesting. And to think back that they did that in the the late 80s, you know.
That's pretty good
ahead
for
of their
them.
Time.
Thank you, Bill. We had at RB High School, Riverside Brookfield, we had no radio station, but we did have a TV station, and really all they did was a program called Dateline RB, and there were two usually senior anchors that would just go, and today in the news, and here's what's for lunch in the cafeteria, was a bulldog burger again.
Was it news that was only pertinent to the high school, or was
it
local
was kind
or
of,
national news?
It was like two talking heads with a blue background dressed in a suit coat. So, you know, if you didn't want to be a news anchor, you didn't get involved in it. There was no film or, you know, at LT, they're making commercials. They're making music videos.
That's excellent. Good.
I just, boy.
It's come a long way.
It has come
That's
a long
excellent.
Way.
And then somebody wanted to correct me. They said at Evanston, that big gym that I'm referring to is actually a field house.
Oh, that's what ours is, too. What's the difference?
There's a big track inside there, and there's tennis courts in
oh,
the middle
is
of the track.
It's
gigantic. It's like the Astrodome in there.
I think there are tennis courts. Or in. I guess there is a track. I didn't really look at the ground.
Yeah. It's huge. All right, we need to take a quick break. We have news coming up next. Steve will give you the news, and then there's a lot more show. It's Bill and Wendy on WGN. Wendy, this is sad. Steve mentioned this in the news. Grant Tinker has died. Grant Tinker is the guy who ran MTM Productions.
Mary Tyler Moore. I hear Grant Tinker. I think Mary Tyler Moore.
Well, they were also married.
Oh,
Did
that's
you know
why
that?
I think that.
She's one of. He was one of Mary Tyler Moore's husbands. By the way, as a quick side note, I'm extremely concerned about Mary Tyler Moore because about 4 or 5 years ago, before you got here, I had Dick Van Dyke on, and that day, that morning, it was announced that Mary Tyler Moore was going into the hospital for observation.
She's a terrible diabetic and has been one, type 1.
Forever.
And it's starting to take its toll. It already has been.
And in the interim, in the 4 years that has passed, I don't remember Mary Tyler Moore being any place of any consequence. I don't remember her being interviewed or showing up any place. And I hope she's okay. I mean, I know
it's
she's
been a bad year and we're not out yet.
Right, right. But Grant Tinker, one of Mary Tyler Moore's husbands and the man who ran her empire, her television empire, Grant Tinker, has died. It says here there's a photo of him that I'll show everybody. I'll just hold it up to the microphone so you can see him with Mary Tyler Moore. Grant Tinker, former chairman and CEO of NBC, not just MTM Productions, but of NBC. He was the chairman, former chairman now. Has died. This happened on Tuesday. He was 90 years old. In 1969, Grant Tinker and his then-wife, actress Mary Tyler Moore, launched MTM Enterprises. The company became an indie powerhouse, producing such popular series as the groundbreaking Mary Tyler Moore Show, Rhoda, Bob Newhart Show.
I was born in the Bronx, New York. That's how it started
It did start that way. WKRP in Cincinnati.
Oh.
Hill Street Blues.
Oh, my God.
And St. Elsewhere.
As a guy who grew up to be in the news media, Lou Grant.
Lou Grant.
I love that show.
Lou Grant was
kid.
Fantastic. Yeah. I don't remember in the history of television them taking a character that was a comedic-based character, Lou Grant, and making it a dramatic-based character.
That was strange
ever,
to me.
It was. Because,
I didn't watch it because it wasn't funny
well,
anymore.
You missed a good show then.
They had Rossi and Billy and Animal.
I mean,
Mrs.
they had Mrs. Pinchon.
Pinchon,
who went on to have Tony Soprano.
Right.
Oh,
that's right. That's right.
She was great. Did you know that Gavin McLeod auditioned for the role of Lou Grant originally?
No. So the guy who played Murray Slaughter was originally trying out for Lou Grant. No.
Yes.
That's interesting.
Alan C. started losing his hair at age 18. He went later changed his name to Gavin McLeod. McLeod.
Wait, Alan. So his last name was
Alan C. That was his name.
Just the letter C, or
no
spelled
S-E-E.
Out? Oh,
he was studying drama at New York's Ithaca College. By the time he graduated from college, pretty much bald. He maintained a fairly steady career playing heavies, thanks to the bald head.
Yeah.
MTM co-founder Grant Tinker invited McLeod to audition for the role of Lou Grant, which he did, but afterward he asked to read the role of Mary's co-worker, Murray Slaughter, who was honestly, all those characters were fantastic.
Oh, yeah.
I loved Murray. And then Jack Cassidy was in mind when they created the character of Ted Baxter.
Jack Cassidy would have been a great Ted Baxter because that was really Jack Cassidy.
It really was. Yeah. But what's his name?
Real pompous Ted Knight.
He was fantastic.
He was so good.
Mary.
Hi, Lou.
and then he had his own show, too. I don't know if it was MTM.
Too Close
right?
for Comfort.
Too Close for
oh,
Comfort.
Oh, I watched that.
Yeah.
With the two cute girls.
Yeah. And Monroe.
Oh, Monroe.
Oh, yeah. I forgot about that.
Yes.
Their silly
so did
neighbor.
Everybody.
What was that guy's name? Because he went on to have a little.
I can't think of his name.
Isn't
that sad?
Yeah, it's escaping me.
That was a cute little show, and the redheaded wife.
Nancy Ducharme. Dussault.
How do you not
who
know?
Also, Nancy Ducharme also hosted Good Morning America for a little while.
She did?
Yeah, with David Hartman.
God, what was Monroe's real name? How do you not know that? Jim J. Bullock.
Jim J. Bullock.
It is a but sad day when Bill I, Left
when
does not remember your
Bullock.
Name.
But it was Jim J. Bullock, but there was no I in the Jim part, right? Isn't it just J and M?
No.
It isn't? Really? I thought it was.
No wonder you didn't remember his name.
Are you sure?
Yes.
I thought it was just JM for Jim. Because I's were rationed because of the war. But look at that lineup. Mary Tyler Moore, Rhoda, Bob Newhart, WKRP, Hill Street Blues, St. Elsewhere. Those are the best shows of that era.
Absolutely.
He nailed it. I don't know
how
you do better than that. He was 90 when he died.
That's a good run.
Yeah.
God, this
although
just...
ask me when I'm 90.
I hope you make it to 90.
No, keep going. I want to keep going. In 1981, Grant Tinker left MTM to become chairman and CEO of what was then the last place network on TV, NBC. There with Brandon Tartikoff, another genius who died way too young, programming genius. As his entertainment president, Tinker spearheaded a ratings turnaround with NBC rising from last to first, and they did it in a short time, too. They were in last place for years and years and years, and then those guys came in, Grant Tinker and Brandon Tartikoff, and turned it into number one in a year or two. His reign with NBC included hits like The Cosby Show, Family Ties, Golden Girls, Cheers, Night Court, and Hill Street Blues, his own
good
show.
Good God.
Tinker left NBC in 1986 because of following its acquisition by NBC. Wait. He left
they acquired
NBC
themselves?
Because it was acquired by NBC. That's what it says here in the story, but I'm not sure that that's accurate. Tinker won a Peabody Award in 1994. Gee, Mr. Peabody!
And was thank you, Sherman.
Sherman handed it over to him. And was inducted into the Television Hall of Fame in 1997. He is survived by his sons, director-producer Mark Tinker and writer-producer John Tinker. You still see their names on stuff all the time. They're both very active.
Evers and Chance, are they?
Tinker's Evers and Chance were the three, yes. Yes. Grant Tinker was a great man who made an indelible mark on NBC and the history of television that continues to this day, NBC Universal CEO Steve Burke said in a statement. He loved creative people and protected them, which was still expertly managing the business. Very few people have been able to achieve such a balance. We try to live up to his standards that he set every day. Our hearts go out to his family and friends. He also had, in the history of television, the greatest sign-off of his shows. They took the old MGM sign off, which was the lion roaring, and he just had an adorable little kitty cat just meowing.
Did you hear it? I actually played it at 10.
Did you play it? I didn't hear it.
Listen to it again. Do you mind?
Yeah, go on.
You might just make it after all.
Yep.
You know where they found that cat?
No.
In an alley?
Close. It was at a shelter.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah. I have a bunch of facts about the Mary Tyler Moore Show. Can we talk about that?
I'd love
to. Also, someone suggested that Grant Tinker's father invented the Tinker Toys, which is not true. Right. Did you text that?
Yeah, I did.
How can you talk in text?
It's amazing I could do one of those things.
And on a sad note, Bill.
Yes.
Someone has texted that you have just given the kiss of death to Mary Tyler Moore.
No.
Ouch.
I don't want to do that. That's the last thing I want to do.
Well, you may have.
On the show Too Close for Comfort, Jim J. Bullock is credited as Jim J. Bullock, J.M. Here it is.
All right. Well, okay, whatever.
So I'm right.
I guess, but that in what?
So, did you beat those girls in ping pong at the high school?
Yes.
Who cares?
You whooped them silly.
Look him up online,
you
and it's
like
J-I-M everywhere.
I
never saw.
Like I got hit in the head with a brick.
I think it was a typo.
No, well,
you can shorten James, I guess, to J-M-S. Maybe that's what he was doing, since it was a singular Jim, not James. He did J-M.
But I didn't want you to think I just imagined it.
I did.
He had no. Well, but
he's
been credited as that.
I got to look for the old credits on this. Is that Wikipedia?
It's on Wikipedia, but there's other sites reporting the same thing.
All right.
All right.
So, yes, that kitten was... God, you don't let anything die,
well,
do you?
I don't want people hearing this to think, oh, man, Bill's having a seizure or something. No, he was credited as Jim J. Bullock, just J.M., because I remember as a kid seeing that going, that's not how you spell that.
He should buy a vowel.
See, this is a distraction, Wendy. In fact, he didn't know his guy's name, right?
You know what? You're absolutely right, because everybody was texting Jim J. Bullock spelled with an I.
Yeah.
You are the king of all things trivial,
right.
And I can't believe, I mean, you know you have failed in your career when Bill Left does not remember your name, and then remembers it incorrectly, which turns out to be correctly.
Can I tell you the strangest thing about that? When I was doing stand-up, I lived in California for 3 months. I know that's not a long time, but I said, I'll give this 90 days, and if I don't love it, I'll move back, and I did. And during that 90 days, one day I was at a friend's house and we were talking about Jim J. Bullock. And he goes, why are you here for 90 days? I go, because that's how long I think it'll take me to find Jim J. Bullock. I said that as a joke. Later in the day, we went out for ice cream, and at the ice cream place we went to is Jim J. Bullock. And then I went, well, I guess I can go home now because I found him.
You have the weirdest life.
I know.
I mean, you really do.
The odds of that, right?
So the MTM small company, they were thinking, wouldn't it be cute to have a kitten meow like the MGM lion?
Yeah.
So a staffer who worked with Grant Tinker visited an animal shelter in Minneapolis, found several orange kittens, and they wanted a cat with fur color similar to a lion's. They chose the one with the loudest meow. Or Mew, I guess.
Classic.
The kitten was named Mimsy, and she appeared in many different forms in the production tags of various MTM shows. A crew member adopted her and took her home to San Bernardino, where Mimsy lived until the age of 20.
Wow.
So she was the precursor to Sit Ubu Sit.
Yes.
Yes.
She was. Yes, she was.
Bill, everybody in show business loves their pet.
I guess so. We were just
You're going to put your rabbit on something if you make a movie?
Yes. Yes, I am. All right, we need to take a break. It's a court order. This is the first season version of this song.
Yeah, I like the other one.
It was more reflective in that first season.
More somber.
It was a lot, yeah, a lot more
somber. Didn't
know
she was going to make it in Minneapolis on her own.
Nope.
And then it got brighter.
Well, because she threw her hat up in the air. That makes things better.
Can I play something that will make everybody chuckle today? Oh,
yeah.
No pun intended.
All right.
Chuckles the Clown brought pleasure to millions. The characters he created will be remembered by children and adults alike. Peter Peanut. Mr. Fee-Fi-Fo. Billy Banana. And my particular favorite, Aunt Yoo-Hoo. And not just for the laughter that they provided. There was always some deeper meaning to whatever Chuckles did.
Mary's trying really hard not to laugh at this really somber funeral, which was one of the best sitcom episodes really of all time.
Without a doubt.
And she said that the insides of her cheeks were almost raw from biting them so hard to keep from laughing during the actual taping of that episode.
The whole episode is everybody in the newsroom making cheap jokes about Chuckles dying and her scolding them, saying, a man has died, we need to respect this
right.
guy. And then when it comes time to go to the funeral, well, she can't stop laughing.
He was crushed by an elephant in a parade, right?
Right.
Yes.
Yeah, it really
He'd been dressed as Peter Peanut to serve as Grand Marshal of the circus parade and a rogue elephant. Tried Russia. To shell him.
Right. Right. Yeah, it really is.
That would be you at a funeral. Don't come to mine.
Oh, all right.
Because really, you will be making everybody laugh.
Yeah.
Some more facts. We were talking about Grant Tinker died, and he created just some amazing shows and was married to Mary Tyler Moore. I got to tell you this. Valerie Harper almost didn't get the role of Rhoda because she was too attractive.
Oh, how
she
about
was
that?
Beautiful.
I thought so.
The character of Rhoda, Mary's neighbor and eventual best friend, was originally described as a self-made loser, overweight, not good with hair and makeup, and self-deprecating. Of all the actresses who tested for the role, Valerie Harper was the producer's hands-down favorite, but there was one problem. She was too beautiful.
How about that?
The producers asked her to frump herself up a bit for a second reading, but she still looked too pretty. So just like the characters of Ted Baxter and Murray Slaughter, the producers rethought the character to suit the actor.
Oh, yeah, I could see that. Because
she was beautiful.
Yeah.
Ted Knight hated being confused with Ted Baxter and almost quit the show over that.
Oh, that's too bad.
But he was also living paycheck to paycheck when he was cast as Ted Baxter.
He had been in a couple of very serious movies early in his career, and it's always strange. He's like Leslie Nielsen, when you see him in a movie where it's not a comedy, you go, "What? Wait, what?"
Right.
But they were pretty good. Do you remember who the actor was who married Ted Baxter to Georgette? He wasn't famous at the time, but then he went on to become very famous.
He was the priest or whatever who
he was
married
a minister
them. Oh, okay.
Who had just come from a tennis match. He married them in tennis attire because they had called him last minute and he just came over from
Jimmy Connors.
It's not Jimmy Connors.
Damn it.
Elliot Gould.
It is not Elliot Gould.
That's a great guess.
He would have been already famous.
He was already famous back then.
Oh my God, I love this trivia. Is it Jim J. Bullock with no eye?
Jim.
Jim J. Bullock. No. It is he went on to star in two of the most revered sitcoms of that generation.
John Ritter. That's all I needed
Steve
to hear.
Steve got it. It's Hello? John Ritter. Nice and done, Steve.
Thank you, Bill. Appreciate that.
Can I tell you, that guy was an absolute genius, a comedic genius, and I was so hurt by his death because it was just so sudden.
Yeah, I know.
He was so funny.
But he's another guy. He's in a couple of serious movies before he was, you know, the comedy genius that we know him as. That movie, The Other, that I think is one of the best scary movies of all time.
It is.
He's in that.
You're right.
I think that was his first movie.
Well, he was already funny when he was in Sling Blade, too.
Yeah. Because he's great in Sling Blade. That's such a serious role, and he's great in Sling Blade.
Was Jim J. Bullock in those?
He was not in any. He tested them. All right, let's take a break.
Life is like a box of Bertrand. We've got him coming up with the news next, 720 WGN. Thank you, Steve. It's Bill Leff, it's Wendy Snyder, and we are joined by one of our favorite guests and a regular guest, Dr. John Duffy. Hi, Dr. Duffy.
Hi, guys. How are you?
John, there's serious things to discuss with you, but really quick, a question we ask all of our guests. Have you had any run-ins with Bruce Springsteen lately?
I'm glad you asked. I did, in fact, talk to Bruce just the other day. He said to say hi.
You really did.
I went to
a book signing, and Bruce Springsteen and you spent a little time together.
It was
2 minutes.
It was under 2 minutes, and yet it seemed like two of the most important minutes of my life, Wendy.
So what do you say? I know what a fan you are. You've seen him in concert. 15 times, right?
I have.
What do you say to him in that brief time that
I worked hard not to say that. I saw about 3 hours in line, what I pictured was, I just want to thank him. I want to thank him for the music. I want to thank him for the memories.
Yeah.
And I was focused solely on that. And that's why the picture is so goofy.
No, you look great.
Well, still.
You seriously look great. I, of course, identified with Bruce Springsteen. I saw him on the River Tour and Born to Run. Strap your legs around the... He mentions Wendy.
Strap
That's
your
all.
Hands cross my engines. I believe it's the lyric, right?
And it is to Wendy, right?
It is to Wendy. So I thought, oh, God, if he only met me, I could say that was about me.
Yeah.
But he was at Books A Million. He's got Born to Run. Is that the name of his new book?
Born to Run is the name of the book, yes.
Dedicated to me, of course.
Sure.
And so we're in the media, and I didn't hear that Bruce was coming to Books A Million till after the event had already sold out.
Right.
So kudos to you for being a huge Bruce fan. You got wind of this, purchased tickets.
Yes.
And it sold out in minutes.
In seconds.
Oh, yeah. There are only five cities that he was doing a book tour in.
That's it.
Right.
Chicago was one of them.
Yeah.
So you jumped on that right away.
Right away. Yeah, and it was honestly, you know, for getting 10, 15 seconds with a guy who's just standing there taking photos,
yeah,
It was great. I mean, I wouldn't trade it for anything.
He was cordial to everybody.
I mean, I felt like I had a moment with him, and you know, that's a credit to him because you can't have 1,100 moments in 2 hours, you know.
Right. So, oh, good. I'm glad you got to meet him.
It was great.
Doesn't that make you feel good when you meet somebody you've always idolized and they're good people? That makes you feel good.
Less than 2 minutes that you talked to.
Right. Right. Excellent. All right. Now on to the serious stuff.
Yes.
We had another school situation.
Right.
And how exactly does that affect kids and parents when you have something happen like what happened at Ohio State the other day?
It's so striking how quick the reactions are. Within the last 2 days, I have talked to three different parents, one a set of parents, talking about, like, should my kid even be away at school? Or next year, should I send my kid away to school? Or is it just not safe enough, you know? And I remember it's reminiscent of what happened at Northern Illinois University about 7 or 8 years ago when there was this shooting in this classroom.
Six killed February 14th, 2008 when that happened.
Yeah. And it's almost how quickly we forget, because I would have guessed it was two killed. I'd
forgotten. I had to look it up.
Yeah. Yeah. But people react really, really strongly with a whole lot of anxiety. So you get anxiety all across the board. The parents are anxious because they're not sure their kids are safe. The kids are worried themselves. Yeah. And there's so many other things going on campus. Like, if you think about this time of year, kids are getting ready for finals. Some of them are getting ready for their first ever college finals. Some are just adapting. Some are just hearing about sexual assault on campuses and things like that for the first time. So it's not like there's, and binge drinking and things like that. It's not like this is the only thing going on campus. And then you add this, and this becomes the crisis. And the counseling and psych services programs, I guarantee you, at Ohio State right now are flooded with kids who had nothing to do with the incident and probably were nowhere near it. There's 60,000 kids there, but are still affected by it and still anxious about it.
Well, imagine one of 60,000, even if you weren't there, somebody infiltrated your school and took lives.
Yeah.
Actually didn't, injured people. It's so scary to think about. When that came out in the news, Bill, I said to you, Michael's going to a junior college. But you know what? It can happen at a junior college, too.
It can happen anywhere. It could happen on Michigan Avenue here. Yeah. You just never know. And so I think you have to be, once you can get the crisis out of your mind, which takes a while, I think you have to be kind of just reasonable about the fact that it can happen anywhere. You've taught your kids to be smart and capable and competent and resilient, and they're kind of coached through these things. I don't know if you saw what they call the Buckeye alerts, but they kind of coach the kids through specifically what to do. And that came out within a minute or two of this happening, you know, which is an amazing use of the technology that's available.
But, John, it's flawed to some extent. And I'm trying to remember, there's been so many incidents similar to this in the last couple of years. But one not too long ago, remember we were hearing conflicting reports. Some of the alerts were saying, get out of the building. Others were saying, stay in the building.
Right,
right.
So you don't know in the heat of the moment what
But that
exactly
was only one real case that I heard of where there was some kind of confusion.
Yeah.
What's good is, like, when your kid goes to that school, a parent can register for these alerts too.
Right.
So, like, if you're home in Illinois and you get wind of this, it's scary, but boy, you could text your kid right away. Are you okay?
Right.
And hopefully they respond immediately.
Quickly. Right. And that wasn't true not that long ago. And to your point, Bill, I get your point that, you know, like, there's so much information. This was a shooting before it was a stabbing, right?
I mean, they were saying active shooter, and that wasn't the case at all.
Right. But at the very least, you know, regardless of the veracity of the detail, kids knew to hunker down, right?
The
kids knew, like, okay, I have to barricade myself in this classroom. I got to stay inside. So at the very least, even if the information wasn't great, the directives were towards safety, which I think is a good thing.
Are you able to pull out, when counseling anybody who has concerns about these, and they're valid concerns, but are you able to say, it really is a numbers game? Yeah, this happened, and it does happen with some frequency, but the odds are so far against you ever being near a situation like this. Does that even make sense to say that?
It makes sense after a while. In the immediate aftermath, I think mostly, you know, from where I sit and from where any therapist sits, I think you have to at least give some credence to the fact that, yeah, this is scary. This is anxiety provoking. And to Wendy's point, you know, like, this can happen anywhere at any time, and we have to be alert and aware to that. the likelihood of it happening is incredibly slim,
yeah,
right?
Sure.
And it can happen anywhere. So, you know, like if you're, like I was talking to these parents yesterday, and my press was, I think you're going to want to send your kid away to school. I don't think this is a good reason not to, you know, because then their lives are based in fear. A big decision in their life is based in just fear of something that is super unlikely to happen. And on some level, kids, and I've worked with kids who've said this, feel like it's a little bit of a show of no confidence in their ability to manage a situation.
Yeah.
Not that anybody knows how to manage a situation like this very well, but they want the opportunity to get out there and see the world. And I think the more we isolate and hunker down, the less effective that is.
Right. Yeah.
Conversely, what if a kid says to their parents, I want to come home. I can't deal with this. What do you tell that student?
Let's say it were Ohio State and it were 2 days ago. My bias would be, hey, on every campus in America that I'm aware of, there is a CAPS program, counseling and psych services. Have your kid go to that CAPS program. Even if they never make it to another class this semester, worst case scenario, if they go to that program and they're part of it, then they're acclimated to the campus. The minute you pull them out, getting them back out there into the world is really, really difficult.
And yeah, think about that. Their grades might suffer for the rest of this year, but to have them stay there and kind of conquer the fear is really amazing.
It's easy to say from where
I typically
sit, right? I mean, right? No, but for parents, I think that's really difficult. But large picture, you know, does this semester really, really matter all that much in the scheme of their lives? No, probably not. But staying on campus and staying in the game, that probably does. That's more important to my thinking, you know, if you kind of take 5 years instead of 2 months into consideration.
John, schools have wrestled with the idea of weighing grades based on if something traumatic has happened. I know some schools do something where if your roommate does something horrible,
right,
they give you passing
right
complimentary.
I've never
grades.
Heard of that. Really?
Yeah.
Yeah. It's kind of a very well known thing, and I'm not even sure whether it's true across the board. But if your roommate passes away or something tragic happens, then you will get the rumor is you get straight A's. I think it's that you get passing grades.
Yeah, that makes more sense.
I think Bill's got it right.
What if you had a D going?
Right,
and, you
right,
know,
right.
We're just going to give you an A.
Exactly. Right. Yeah. So I don't
I
think it's
heard
quite
of
like that.
That.
Yeah. John, hold that thought. John Duffy's here. We're talking about the aftermath of what happened at Ohio State and how to handle a situation like this with your kids. If you want to jump in, we're at 312-981-7200. It's Bill and Wendy on WGN.
We are talking with Dr. John Duffy. He is a clinical psychologist, a great therapist to many. And
a Springsteen fan, he wants us to say also.
Yeah, I'd like to start with that. Can we open with that?
Yeah, we could open with that, sure.
Well, drjohnduffy.com is his website, and the book is called The Available Parent, and his new book will be called The Biggest Springsteen Fan.
Right, right, a pop-up book. Make up your own jokes. So.
Oh, my God.
All right, so we've gotten through this, and then at some point you have to say to anybody who's concerned, even though Ohio State is over, these things will continue to happen.
Yep.
So you just have to, as the government continues to tell us, remain vigilant and always have an escape route, I guess, right?
Remain vigilant, have an escape route, and always know what your resources are on the back end. You know, like too often I find the kids kind of suffer this stuff alone. So, you know, like that's why I keep pressing this CAPS program thing or seeking out some kind of therapy if, in fact, your kid is traumatized by it. And it's not always readily apparent because you think like, you know, well, those kids that were on that square, those kids need therapy because they witnessed something. They witnessed a stabbing. They witnessed a shooting after the police officer arrived. But there are kids in classrooms 2 miles away or 200 miles away who, you know, were brittle to begin with, maybe not particularly resilient and feeling the after effects nonetheless and are anxious too. Those kids might need some help as well.
Yeah.
Well, what is that called? Survivor guilt?
Yeah.
I mean, think about it. You're in a building, you know, across the quad, and you're like, that could have been me. I know it's unreasonable, but you're not thinking rationally when something irrational goes on.
That's right. And there's nothing less rational than the anxiety of, you know, well, I'm on a different campus and a different place altogether, yet I think this could happen to me. But I have to tell you guys, I will meet kids this Christmas season who come home from school and tell me that this drove anxiety in them, even though they were nowhere near Ohio State.
I'm positive of that.
Yeah.
How do you get rid of this for these kids who were on the campus? And it's not just this story, but wherever there's a scene where something horrible has taken place, for some people, every time they pass that particular place, it registers. Oh,
yeah.
This is where that car accident happened.
Right.
This is where somebody got shot. How do you rid yourself of that?
You know, sometimes you'll drive down a road and you'll see memorials here and there, like with crosses and flowers and things
W
like that.
And W flags, I've noticed all over.
And W
lately.
Flags now, right? Yeah, sure. Even in our neighborhood, some W flags in memorial of somebody.
Yeah.
And I think some kind of a ritual, even on that spot, whether if they hold a vigil on that spot, which I would imagine that if that hasn't happened already, that will happen. Something to kind of, not a corrective experience necessarily, but just something that kind of honors the moment so that location can move on and be, because I think it's a central part of campus. And if it becomes defined solely by this moment, then I think people are kind of like re-traumatized every time they pass by. But if there's a kind of a cleansing ritual that, you know, if there's a candlelight vigil or something that honors anybody who was hurt and the trauma of the moment, then I think people can, with a little more ease, go by that spot. You know, it might not be perfect and it won't be perfect for a while.
Sure.
And time does tend to heal these things, you know. I would imagine that classroom at Northern has a plaque outside of it and people don't think of it a whole lot, even walking in there, you know.
Yeah.
And I suspect that'll happen here as well.
Kind of like to put some closure on it if you do a candlelight vigil.
Yeah.
Vigil. It's like, okay, we don't like it, but we've accepted it, and life does go on.
Right, right.
So kids come home for Christmas break. I guess it doesn't happen to upperclassmen, but say freshmen who have gone to college for the first time. They've come home for fall break and stuff, but Christmas break, there's something pulling at the heartstrings. Do you ever hear of students who don't want to go back because they're just like, oh, my God, the comforts of home. I'm not ready.
Oh, yeah. I mean,
I bet that's
every
common.
Single year, you know, sometimes there are kids, often there are kids who we have a hard time just getting out the door into school in the first place. And Christmas break always makes me anxious for those kids because you get this month where you hunker back down at home. And so I worry about that a lot. And I encourage parents to always kind of keep in mind, you know, like, This is temporary, you know,
right.
Like as much as you want this to feel like a permanent thing, this is going to be temporary. And, you know, we need to reconfigure home as that campus out there, that dorm room out there, or that fraternity or sorority, not this house.
So maybe a couple of days before they go back to school, tell them to, you know, get dressed and not stay in their pajamas all day.
You got to ease into it. Just like we do this with our, you know, middle schoolers and high schoolers, you know, like kind of get them back in the swing of things a little bit ahead of time. Absolutely. Great idea.
Bill, I can't speak for you, but I hoard all my vacation days and take them at the end of the year.
Uh-huh.
And there's something great about hunkering down. And as much as I love this job more than anything in the world and love working with Bill, it's still like, ah, oh, crap, I got to go back to work.
Right.
Right.
It's, you know, Kylie is loving New York, and yet, you know, she came in for the week for Thanksgiving, and she got very emotional about going back, and we kept saying, but you love it there. And she goes, I do love it there, but this.
No place like home.
Yeah.
Right, right, right. And I think those two things can exist in the same lens, you know, and still be okay, right? That, you know, you love it here, and it's bittersweet to leave, but you'll be back here, too, you know?
Yeah. That's John Duffy. His book is The Available Parent. You could get it for somebody as a Christmas gift.
It's a great one.
Right?
Great
Why
Christmas
gift.
Of course.
You could wrap a book like that.
Why
give
not?
It to somebody with a card. I would do that. Why not?
Pair it up with a Springsteen book. You're good to go. I mean,
that's
done.
That's a good gift. John, thank you. Appreciate
Thanks, guys.
It. We'll take a quick break and then some news. Bill and Wendy, WGN.
Doesn't this make you smile?
Yeah, it's so gentle. It reminds me of you.
I wasn't talking the music. Doesn't it make you feel so good that Mike Toomey's
yeah,
in the
studio?
Yeah,
that's good, too. Mike Toomey's here.
Thank you.
A friend of ours, a friend of the show's, a friend to the world, Mike. You are the world's best friend.
I'm the friend of the world.
You are. Yeah. You are. And I know at Christmas time that gets expensive because
yes.
you want to exchange gifts with your friends, and that can get costly. You know Mike from the WGN-TV Morning News. You know him from his years and years of great stand-up comedy. And now you have put together the Mike Toomey Christmas special. What do we need to know about this?
I've been doing this for a few years in different places, and this one is at CD and Me in Frankfurt this Saturday, an 8 o'clock show.
Mm-hmm.
And it's just like Christmas comedy, you know, just we've got a screen. We show some cool stuff that you might remember, like from the old, like what you're talking about here. not Charlie Brown.
Vintage Christmas stuff.
Vintage Christmas stuff. And just, you know, a lot of, we give away Christmas gifts. It's just, it's a ton of fun. We have a tree.
You're like Oprah.
We have a tree. Well,
you are.
Wait till you see what they are before you say them. Like,
all right.
nobody gets a Kia.
Oh,
but there's just a pile of presents, and they're fantastic. You come up, you participate in the show, you get to open it and show everybody what you got.
Oh, that's fun.
Excellent. Oh, it's fantastic.
So
it's so much fun.
So you were a fan. I already know the answer to this. You were a fan of the old Christmas specials,
which
right?
they don't do anymore.
I know.
Yeah.
It's so sad.
Yeah.
It's so sad. I've told you this before, but I always loved the ones. Like Andy Williams had a great one every year.
Yeah.
Bob Hope always had a great one. But the one that always meant the most to me, and Nick at Night still shows this one, was Pat Boone had a Christmas special one time. And it was Pat Boone and his family, and at some point, there were four Boone sisters. Pat Boone had, we all know Debbie
Debbie's
Boone.
Debbie's the only one I know.
Beautiful.
Others. Yeah, stunning. So,
still stunning.
Yeah,
yes.
She looks pretty.
Yes.
The Hudson brothers were on the show.
Handsome.
And Pat and his wife decided to pair off their daughters with the three Hudson brothers, and that seemed okay.
Did that stick
yeah,
with any of them?
I don't think anybody got married,
right.
But for that one-hour Christmas special, the whole show is about his daughters and the Hudson brothers getting to meet each other and spend time together.
Right.
Why were the Hudson brothers on it? That's a weird couple.
They really tried to get them, ingratiate them into everything.
Yes.
Yeah.
You know, we really need a vehicle for the Hudson brothers.
Were they on like the Sonny and Cher show?
Yeah,
they were.
Just, like, and then they had their own show
the
for a while.
The Hudson brother Razzle Dazzle Comedy Hour.
For sure.
It was great.
Loved
Saturdays,
it.
Yep.
Yeah. And Bonkers. Also
Bonkers
other
came
show.
On after SCTV. Remember, it was Saturday Night Live, SCTV, and then Bonkers.
Yep. With the Hudson brothers and Bob Monkhouse.
Bob Monkhouse.
Wow, you two could out-trivialize each other.
I'm lost on Bob Monkhouse.
Yeah.
I don't know who that is.
Yeah, he was a British comic, just died a couple of years ago, but he was their foil. He was their comedic foil.
Bill's
on the
a
show.
Little more hoity-toity than we are, so he knows his British contingency.
Excuse me.
Yes.
Bob Monkhouse.
So
somebody here doesn't know who Bob Monkhouse is.
Yeah, I'm out of here. You got to take it the rest of the way, Wendy. I can't talk to this guy anymore. Enough of this guy. So when you think about those shows, it inspired you. It's I want to be in on that, right?
Yes. And again, it not only kind of recreates it, but calls to mind some of the old, like we got a couple funny film clips that we show, you know, that you might not remember until you see them, like the Norelco Santa. Remember?
Oh, I love
the
Norelco, that.
Like gliding over the snow and the triple heads of
who
the,
needs a sleigh?
Right, right.
Why?
Even our name says Merry Christmas.
All right, analyze that for a minute. Why would that be so comforting to us to watch an animated snowman glide over snow in a shaver? Basically, why? Why does that mean so much to us?
Because when that was on television, we didn't have to worry about anything.
Nothing.
Right. You know, right?
We didn't have bills. We didn't have kids.
Nope.
That's it.
And everybody just gave you stuff.
Yeah.
That's
it.
That was the time of my life.
Yes.
There was also a commercial for Toys R Us where the song was, it's the Toys R Us time of year.
Yes.
And it was Jeffrey and Gigi, his wife, and then Baby G, his little giraffe baby. And
how
it was
long were
animated...
they married? They weren't married a very long time.
They didn't have a happy marriage
no.
out here.
Can I tell you, I'm not positive Jeffrey and Gigi were married when they had Baby G. I'm not positive.
Well, there you go.
I'd have to look this up, but... For some reason, when it was holiday time and that ad would run of the Jeffrey and Gigi family, it just made me so happy. And I went, this is silly. It's giraffes and it's why does this make me so happy?
Right.
I have a theory because you knew then that you got the catalog and you went through and circled all the toys you wanted.
Oh, my God. The Sears catalog.
Oh, that was the best.
Came like late September maybe and then immediately go to the back.
Yes.
Yeah. Did you look at the girls in the bras?
Yes.
Yes.
Because I looked at the men in the tidy whiteys, I got to admit.
Every once in a while, you might, you know, catch something.
And they were always looking at their watch and their tidy whities. Why do you need to know what time it is?
It's about time to put some pants on. That's what time it is.
They were looking at their watch, and then there was always a frame or two of three or four women in just their bras and panties looking up in the sky, like what was coming in the sky, that they'd go, everybody in their underwear, let's go outside and look at whatever's in the sky.
Right.
Or you'd see them, like, hanging an ornament. Why would you do that in
your underwear?
Well, sometimes you're pressed for time, you know?
So my brother
and I... We've
got
to get this tree decorated. We've got to do it now.
My brother and I would go to the toy section, and we would circle the things we'd want, and then we'd go to the women's underwear section. We'd
circle
the girls
we
wanted.
Did you ever get one of those?
Never. Never. It's disappointing.
See, wasn't that just such a sweet time, though?
Yeah, it was
great.
I mean,
Mike, you brought it up perfectly. We didn't have very many worries. It was like, it really was great to be a kid.
Yeah.
Now
yeah.
our kids have so much more stress in their lives than we did.
Yep.
It's more than just circling things. Plus, do they even make catalogs anymore?
I don't think so. You probably
it's all online, online. Now. Yeah.
They'll get a flyer occasionally. Yeah. I think a flyer.
But the catalog was so thick.
Oh, it was so great. I mean,
yeah, it was the best.
The Sears catalog, honestly, was 700 pages. Yep. It was that big.
And you had the NFL pajamas that you can get with your favorite team or whatever.
Yes, yes, that was good. I was just telling Wendy on Black Friday recent, I went to Oak Brook, and there's a store there that sells various kinds of wrapping paper.
Mm-hmm.
And they had this vintage 50s looking wrapping paper, very expensive. But I just looked at it forever going, this is too cool to wrap presents in. I just want to, and Wendy suggested this, buy a sheet of it and frame it and put it up somewhere.
Yeah, like with a bow.
Yeah. Wouldn't that
look
nice?
Oh, that's even
better.
Christmas art with the ribbon.
Yeah.
That crosses.
Let's,
Mike, just do that.
Let's you and I get a kiosk and we'll do that this
let's
holiday.
Let's just do that. We'll buy all the wrapping
in between your shows.
Carry it out to the kiosk and then just sell it. What's so special about yours? It's better than
it's better than the other ones.
Yeah, well, this is better.
Everything about it just looked so, just the style of art back in the 50s, and it's all Christmas stuff, mm-hmm. so it's all the stuff that you'd imagine. It's Santa on a sleigh and it's snowmen with, you know, pipes and brooms and stuff, but it just had such a 50s flavor to it, and boy, the price was astronomically high, and yet I'm thinking, I could use a couple of sheets of this.
I could do this if somebody could just rip it in a million pieces, getting the gift out.
Right.
What's astronomically high? Can I just ask you?
It was around $6 a sheet.
That's
for a sheet
astronomical.
That was, the sheet
but
we're
it
talking.
Was, it was about a foot high and about 6 inches across.
That doesn't
was,
wrap anything.
It couldn't wrap. Like if
a
you
piece
were getting,
of jewelry, guys.
That would be it. That would be the. That
hint,
would be
hint,
the
nudge, nudge. Wink, wink. I bet a woman is in charge of selling those.
I'm positive.
Jewelry.
Yeah.
Also, did you notice this? As your kids get older, the gifts you give them are a lot smaller and way, way, way more expensive.
Yep. Yeah. And it doesn't look like you're giving them anything, but you're paying more. Like before, you could go out and get like army men and wrap up army men, and they're like, great. I think this is great.
Maybe you should do that, though, because my son Dylan was saying, you know, he wants something that costs a lot of money so people will pitch in for it. And mm-hmm. he goes, but then I'm not 100% sure because I don't have a lot of presents to open. But now you've given me the idea I'm going to individually wrap some army men so he has a bunch to open along with that big one and you're not spending any more.
Some marbles.
That's the way to do it.
Get some marbles for him.
Some gum.
I got 60 gifts. Thanks, guys.
12 pack of sponges. I'm giving away all the gifts from my show.
Oh, no.
On Saturday.
Those are all great gifts.
Those are all things
love it.
That,
Mike has a Christmas special. It's called the Mike Toomey Christmas Special. It's
weird
this
name.
Saturday.
I stole it from the Pat Boone Christmas special.
That's amazing.
I only have one daughter, and there's still three Hudson brothers. I think one of them is taken by Goldie Hawn.
Yeah.
Not anymore.
Yeah. they've broken up.
What the hell? Oh yeah, right. He had
Bill Hudson.
They had a kid together.
Yeah.
Kate Hudson together.
Two of them.
Coley Hawn's with Kurt Russell.
Right.
So
Hudson.
Kate Hudson.
Yeah.
What did I say?
No.
I don't know. Kate,
This Saturday. It's at CD and Me in Frankfurt. We'll give you more information in just a little bit. Stick around, Bill and Wendy. WGN.
Here comes Santa Claus. Here comes Santa Claus. Riding down Santa Claus.
Mike Toomey is here. He is the star of the Mike Toomey Christmas Special. It's this Saturday at CDME in Frankfurt. Happy anniversary, Kim, by the way.
Thank you.
You're welcome.
It's your anniversary.
You just slipped that in so beautifully.
Years, it's a long time.
That's amazing.
How many years?
31.
How
about
congratulations.
That? That's fantastic.
You don't look old enough to be married 31
nope.
years.
I was very young when I started.
Obviously.
You are from the South.
Yes. Barefoot and pregnant. That's how we are.
That's it. That's it.
I'm not offending you, am I? Because everything
of
I've just done,
not.
Bill keeps looking at me.
No.
I it was masterful the way you worked that into a Sweet Alley's commercial.
Well, she helped me with
that.
Who cares? They don't care. She broke an anniversary.
I thought that was fantastic. Mike
it's a live read. Things happen during it.
I know. Mm-hmm. That's great. Mike is on the WGN TV Morning News. And Mike, I say this every time you're here, or Wendy and I will say this whenever anybody's here from the WGN TV Morning News. You guys do everything right. It's just so much fun to watch.
Best show on TV.
Well, it's fun to be on.
It is.
Be on that show.
Yeah.
I only have to do the last hour, so it's...
That's
you know,
easier for you.
Yeah, we'll start out at 9, and I'll be like, man, this week is flying by. And you'll be like, really? Really? Were you just sitting here for the last 3 hours talking?
Getting up at 1 in the morning to get there?
Yeah.
Now, Wendy pronounces Anna Balaval's name funny.
I do not. I say it correctly. How do you say it? That is the funniest
thing.
That's
how you say it.
Never gets
that
old.
That's the correct pronunciation. But she doesn't get mad when we say it that way,
no,
does she?
She gets her name butchered all the time.
Does she?
Yeah.
She said you made her parents mad. You're not showing respect to her.
Oh, I don't want to do that.
No,
that
I don't know if that's true, but I knew that it would hurt him more if the parents were upset.
I will send them some Kugel in honor of Kim's anniversary. Make everything right.
Where are you going to find that?
I'll find it. I know I can find it.
We love challah.
It's good stuff. Have you never had it, Wendy?
I make my own bread.
Kim makes
it's braided
Kim
bread.
Makes
oh, the pretty bread.
With the eggs. Yeah.
That's what we Catholics call the pretty bread.
Pretty bread. Yeah. I want some pretty bread. Jeff Hoover, who produces the WGN TV Morning News, is the brains behind this this special about Ray Rayner and Garfield Goose and Bozo. And I just watched it again. This is the fifth time I've seen it.
Such a great show. Yeah, it's Jeff Hoover, Dean Richards, and George Pappas did it together, the three of them. And it's just it's like what you're saying. When it's on, everything stops.
You have to watch it, right?
I've seen it, but I have to watch it.
It was on during the break, the Thanksgiving break, and I had seen it in its entirety four other times, and I turned it on just as it was starting, and I go, well, I know what I'm doing for the next few hours.
Right.
There it is.
That'll be on again over Christmas. It's so good.
Yeah. It's so good.
That to me is like the Santa on the Norelco razor.
Yeah.
When I see that, it's
puts
warm
you in another place.
Yeah.
Yep. Yeah.
Really does.
And what the thing that like just kills you over that is that there is so much that didn't get saved.
It's tragic.
I know.
They would just tape over it or dump it or whatever. And the stuff they got, a lot of that is from people who taped it at home.
Right. Isn't that hard to believe?
God, some of the greatest moments just gone forever.
All gone forever. Yep.
God, when we get old, we get depressing. Do you realize that? I mean, seriously, it's gone forever.
Somebody just drove into an embankment right now listening. Whoa.
It's over.
What's the point of going on if all the old Bozo
episodes are lost? Well, if I can see the real highlights, I'll just take a sharp left right here.
But that, you know, the same could be said of The Tonight Show, the classic episodes, the early 60s and into the mid and late 60s of Johnny Carson's Tonight Show. You always saw the same on the anniversary. You saw Ed Ames with the axe and stuff, because all those other moments were, they, like you said, they taped over it. They didn't think
anyone
would care. Yeah, yeah.
You'd think something like that.
And think about like old baseball game. Try to find an old baseball game.
Gone.
You know? Yeah, like a Cubs or a Sox game from... Right. The early 70s.
Why do you want to watch it again?
That's what I do.
I mean, I guess if there's a highlight on it, but just, hey, let's pull up an old game to watch it.
You can
find
a couple. There's one from 77 or 78, that 23-22 Phillies game.
Yeah,
you can always find that.
They used to show that. I don't know if they still do, but WGN would show that in the middle of winter just to let you know. It'll get warm again, everybody.
And one time WGN fixed it so that Ernie Banks hit the homer
in the last
inning. Ninth to win when they didn't really win the game because Mike Schmidt pulverized him.
Wasn't that great?
Yeah. Everybody hit a homer. The wind was blowing out like, 900 miles an hour.
I know.
And you stuck the bat out. And I remember Brickhouse, they batted around the first inning. There's a lot. Oh, not the pitcher. Oh, come on. The pitcher hit a home run.
Didn't Jose Cardinal's mom hit a home run the fourth inning?
I think she did.
She pulverized
it. Just for fun, as an exhibition.
Yes. Right, just to show she could do it. And then, I know this is also sad, but we need to bring this up with you because you're such a fan of the Brady Bunch. Florence Henderson dying over the week.
That's sad, awful. And we will be paying tribute to Florence on
she deserves it.
Show. Yeah, we have a little moment.
Wendy and I were saying, in the history of TV, if you had to mention the most representative moms of television, you'd have to include her, right?
If you did like a top five, would you have Florence Henderson, maybe Barbara Billingsley, perhaps?
Shirley Jones, I got to throw
Jones,
her in there.
Roseanne.
No, honestly, I agree with you.
I think Roseanne.
There was like some comfort.
Very real.
Yes.
For her era. That was a great
show.
Yeah. Maybe Marge Simpson.
Oh.
Maybe.
Mark, I can't do it.
Don't you think?
Yeah, it could be.
To some extent, yeah.
It's on long enough.
Yeah.
Did you at one point want to be a Brady kid? Because I know Bill did and I did. I wanted to live in that house.
No.
And have a housekeeper and a butcher.
Yeah, to have the butcher come over every once in a while was always a nice thing.
Fresh meat. That's what I wanted
brings
as a kid.
It to the house, because he should bring it to the house, because when he doesn't, when you go to get it, bad things happen.
Yeah,
you
every
get locked
time.
In the freezer.
Every time.
Yeah, right.
That was always the music they played whenever something went wrong. When the washing machine started to overflow. Wah, 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 wah.
They also had, it was the Brady Bunch theme, but when something sad would happen, you got the sad Brady.
And then the mischief one.
Yeah.
Right. Remember? I'm off a little, but. This is our tribute to Florence Henderson.
All the incidental music.
You have met members of the cast, probably almost all of them. I know Eve Plum likes to keep to herself, but you've met the other members. They have nothing but great things to say about both their TV parents. They always say good things about Robert Reed and Florence Henderson.
Yeah, they said he would always be really cool, gave them all movie cameras for one particular trip they took or something.
Yeah.
Yeah. Christopher Knight has like a great sense of humor. Twice he's been on and twice I walked in as Mike.
Yeah.
And not without even skipping a beat. Not like, what is this idiot doing? He just played it off like, okay, I'm Peter again.
You know? It's instinctive for him. He sees Robert Reed.
Yep.
And could you do just a second or two of what you would say as Robert Reed?
I said, Peter, your mother and I are very upset, and I think you know why.
And then he starts singing like a canary.
He said, it's not because you broke your mother's vase or not because you think you're dull, Peter. We haven't seen you since Vincent Price tied you to a totem pole in 1973. Remember that? Oh, Oliver.
Right. That's what happens.
Right.
You got to be careful when you're the Brady
But the weirdest thing was when they finally found the kids tied to the pole, he says to Vincent Price, I don't know who you are or what you're doing, but you've got some explaining to. Yeah, I've got your kids tied to a pole in a cave. Yeah, that does require somewhat of an explanation.
Maybe.
Yeah.
Maybe.
God, no wonder everybody says Mike Toomey is the funniest guy you've ever met.
That's why. That's why right there.
You're great.
Mike's Christmas special is called, I don't understand the title, but the Mike Toomey Christmas special. It's this Saturday. Go see Mike. If you haven't seen him, you need to. If you've seen him before, you know how great he is. This Saturday at CDME in Frankfurt. What time does the show start? 8 p.m.?
Show's at 8 o'clock, and it's cdandme.com. CDANDME.com.
Perfect.
Thank you, Mike.
Thanks, you guys.
We appreciate it. Thanks, Kim, and happy anniversary.
Thanks again. Holla back at you, Wendy.
Thank you. Why are you making fun of me for being a nice person?
I'm not. For people who missed it, in part one of the show, you were doing a read for Sweet Alley's. You were doing a commercial for it. And in the middle, you remembered that it was Kim's anniversary and you wished her a happy anniversary. And I marveled at the fact that you were able to make that such a smooth transition. I thought that was great.
She's a great multitasker.
Yes.
Thank you. And by the way, Sweet Allies would approve because a live read means you're conversational.
That's absolutely true.
And I wasn't sure how to say challah.
And then we start talking about their challah.
Yes.
Right. So since Kim jumped into the commercial, I thought, and with good reason, you bailed me out. Yeah. I thought I would say happy 31 years
of marriage. You got it done.
You just
happy anniversary, Kim.
Thanks, guys.
It doesn't mean anything coming from Bill.
That's genuine.
Oh, look, mine wasn't?
No,
have I been married the longest of the three of us?
Yeah, I'm only 19 years.
And we're coming up on 26.
Wow.
So, yes, congrats.
We'll never make it to 31.
I'm looking at like 2 months.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, yeah, Kevin.
Kevin's in the running.
He's the loser.
He's the least time married.
The least married?
Yeah, they have an open marriage. Did you know that about Kevin?
No.
They have an open marriage.
Is that like open table?
It's better.
Just log on, see what you get.
And I'm kidding. We will make it to 31.
Of course you will.
The kids will be gone, even though I'm sad about it now. I cannot wait to start dating my husband again. Because
I'm telling you, it's so fun. We have a really good time. Yeah, we do.
Well, you know, I was pregnant on our first anniversary.
Yeah.
So we didn't
have... I thought you were going to say first date. I'm glad you went with anniversary.
Well, that's when it happened. No. Shut up. God, you are just so mean.
I just heard
you're
first.
You're filled with
like,
the Christmas spirit, aren't
here
you?
Here it comes. Yeah.
No, but I was pregnant on our first anniversary, and it was kind of lame because we got married at the Marriott in Oak Brook. You were there.
I was there.
And so part of your package deal is you get an overnight stay for your year anniversary.
Oh, that's a nice little throw-in.
Except I was pregnant. I couldn't drink.
Oh.
I had morning sickness, not badly, and it was in the evening. I was tired all the time.
Oh, that's a fun getaway.
I know.
And
I'm telling you.
And they wouldn't let you use it at another time, or you had to use it on your anniversary?
We wanted to, so we went to the clubhouse, which...
In Oak Brook?
Richard Wagner, actually. Robert Wagner
Richard
had
Wagner.
Part...
You're thinking of the composer.
He had part ownership of, and we loved going there. Mm-hmm. But that's a time when I would occasionally smoke a cigar because they have a great cigar bar, but I didn't because I was pregnant. So really, we were laying in bed on our anniversary in the hotel room watching SNL. I was pregnant.
No, I know.
So, but you still remember that very fondly. You
I
know?
Do.
Yeah.
Going, God, we made it a year? Who saw that coming? Totally
I lost
kidding.
$50. I don't care.
You know what? I don't doubt you. All right. So congratulations on your 31 years. You're 26. Me, yeah. My 18. And Kevin, 2 months.
2 months for Kevin.
You'll get there, honey. You'll get there.
Be patient, Kevin.
Thanks.
But I have really tragic news.
Oh, what is it?
You said you know what it is.
I think
Why?
I know what it is.
There
Did
is
somebody
another
who
death.
Changed, it changed America, America's food habits, right? Is that it?
Yes.
Yeah.
Michael Delegati has died,
yep.
Ladies and gentlemen. 98 years old. A moment of silence
Michael
for Michael
Delegati,
Delegati.
Is no longer with us.
And you're saying, who's that? You may not know his name, but you will know exactly what he invented. He's the guy who brought you the Big Mac.
He was the inventor of the Big Mac.
Didn't you expect a guy who invented the Big Mac to be named Mac something? Well, I know it's McDonald's,
yeah,
but still.
Yeah.
He was more affectionately known. Okay, this is very weird. His name's Michael Delegati.
Yeah.
And he was more affectionately known as Jim.
Yeah. That doesn't that doesn't make any sense.
With an I.
Yeah, not like Jim J. Bullock. That's curious.
Well, he was one of McDonald's first franchise owners. He first created the Big Mac in 1967 at his Uniontown, Pennsylvania restaurant, according to Business Insider. Almost 50 years later, it's the same recipe served in chains today.
It hasn't changed a bit.
Two all beef patty, special sauce, lettuce, cheese, pickles, onions, not a sesame seed bun.
That's it. That's how you make it. Now, it used to be when you got one, it came in a cardboard box, a square cardboard box. Then it became like a styrofoam container.
And then that was bad for the environment.
Yeah.
It's back in the box.
Oh, it is? Yeah. I thought they just wrapped it up in like paper.
No.
It's back in the box now.
Just the double cheeseburgers and cheeseburgers.
Oh, I didn't know that.
All the other ones have boxes again. Recycled. When's the last time you had a Big Mac?
You know, it's been, seriously.
Obviously.
I bet it's been... Probably 10 years since I've had a Big Mac. It's been around 10 years.
Don't you like them?
I do like them.
But you're going to say, with all the choices in the Chicago metro area, why would you go get a Big Mac? Sometimes nothing does it like a Big Mac.
It's too much for me.
Oh, with your dainty little mouth and
yes.
fingers and your tiny little
yes.
appetite?
Yes. I have to split a White Castle with my wife and daughters. That's all I can eat. It's the strangest thing, but I used to eat one without a blink. I just, okay, Big Mac in, Big Mac out. That's it. Eaten. But now I can't even eat a whole one anymore. It's just too much. Isn't that crazy?
You sound like a complete idiot.
Well, even,
I'm sorry.
Remember I told you with White Castles, I used, when I was a kid, 10.
You
that's
were
how many White Castles I would have.
Weaned 10. On those.
I can't have 4 of them now. Three, maybe 4. And that's my limit. I can't do more.
I will be honest with you, the White Castles, you know, after a night of drinking or what have you, they're I could pack a few in. I can do maybe 3, but
that's
2
it.
Is usually it, cuz it's like they're too much for me now.
And it does
It's
it
not
have
the size
do,
though, it's the onions and it's a lot.
It's all the everything that goes with it. For me, like you go, okay, now I realize these aren't the healthiest of options, but that's not even it. I just don't have the capacity to eat that much food at a time anymore.
I've seen you eat. If it's something you like, you can eat quite a bit of it.
Yeah.
You must not like the Big Mac.
No, I do. I'm not, I do.
It's too big for me.
It's too big.
It's that third piece of bread.
I need a medium-sized Mac.
Why? They have Whopper Juniors. Why don't they have Big Mac Juniors?
I think they did.
No.
Didn't they for a while? They didn't? No.
Scooter, I just can't believe what we're about to hear.
What? You don't believe that? I've been in Chicago all my life. I've ate at McDonald's many, many times. I've always been quarter pounder, double cheeseburger, cheeseburger.
Never a Big Mac? Ever once?
Never had a Big Mac.
You have not lived.
I think the reason is because I don't, the secret sauce is with Thousand Island or something.
Thousand Island dressing.
Is that the secret sauce?
And I hate Thousand Island dressing, so maybe that's probably why I never had one. But,
and you're not even curious as to what it tastes like at all?
Not really, no.
It's really
maybe
good.
Maybe now you're talking about it. Maybe when next time I try it, I might have to try it. But honestly, I've never, ever had a Big Mac.
Come downtown. Wendy will give you a bite of
I'll
hers.
Buy you one. If you come downtown, I will buy you one, although there's not really.
I'm in Brookfield all the time when you're out in Cicero.
I moved. I don't live near that area anymore.
Yeah, right. Yeah, we know that. But anyways, it's honest truth, too. Never. never had a Big Mac.
There's something about a Big Mac which typically wouldn't appeal to me because I don't really like Thousand Island dressing either.
Yeah.
There's no ketchup on it.
No?
There is no ketchup.
Is that true?
It's special sauce, lettuce, cheese, pickles, onion, and the marriage of the lettuce, the shredded lettuce, the pickles, and the onion is perfect, but no ketchup on it. Sometimes I got to put my own ketchup on it.
Yeah, it's amazing. And I never had a fish fillet either.
Oh, a faff? Filet of fish?
I'm not a fish person either.
Oh, during Lent,
I should become a vegetarian, huh?
Yeah, you should may as well.
It's time to trade in.
Thank you, Scooter.
All right, great show, guys.
Thank you.
Thank you. I can't believe for 50 years later they have not changed a thing
not altered
on
anything.
That.
Good for them.
It's been experimenting with the Big Mac size lately, Bill. Offering both smaller and bigger versions.
That's what I was saying. I knew they test marketed it somewhere.
Not here.
Not here, though.
A Baby Mac?
No, what do they call it?
A Lil Mac?
Yeah, maybe they call it a L-I-L apostrophe Mac. Maybe that's what they're calling it. Something like that, but I know they were testing it somewhere.
And Delagatti, Michael Delagatti, has died, the man who brought you the Big Mac. He was 98.
Please tell me he became rich because of this, because McDonald's has done fairly well with the Big Mac. I hope he got a kickback on some of this.
Well, he also, I haven't gotten there yet. He helped to develop McDonald's breakfast menu by feeding hotcakes and sausage meals to steel workers at the end of their overnight shifts.
Oh.
He died at his home in Pittsburgh Monday night in a cardboard box. Too soon.
That's how they'll bury him. A fitting finish. I just hope it's one of those cases where the McDonald's company didn't go, well, he was working for us. He came, it's our idea, basically. Even though he thought of it, we're the ones making all the profit. I hope they realized that without the Big Mac, you know, they would be billions and billions of dollars shy.
Totally.
Cut him a check at some point.
I have a feeling perhaps they didn't compensate him because remember he was a franchise owner. And here's what McDonald's issued in a statement, and it doesn't sound like he made a lot from it.
Yeah.
Here's McDonald's statement. Jim was a legendary franchisee within McDonald's system who made a lasting impression on our brand. We will remember Jim. Again, his name is Michael Delagatti, but we will remember Jim as an insightful franchisee, a knowledgeable businessman, and an honorable gentleman who left a legacy of four generations of family members running great restaurants in Pennsylvania and North Carolina. That, to me, kind of...
It's their way of saying thanks, but we'll keep the profits. Is that what it
I
says?
I don't know that for a fact, but with you. I hope he was able to spend lots of money that he made from everyone buying a Big Mac except Scooter.
He's the only one who's held out. All right, we'll take a break, and then a lot more show. It's Bill and Wendy, WGN.
Sauce, lettuce, cheese, pickles, onions on a sesame seed bun.
Now that's a much more angelic version than I'm accustomed to. Isn't it?
Yeah.
This is angels singing it. And the Beatles are playing background.
It's like heaven when you bite into it.
It is. Yes, it is.
All right, the inventor of the Big Mac has died. We salute the man who gave us the Big Mac. His name was Michael Delagatti, affectionately known as Jim.
We call him Jim.
I still don't get. I just think McDonald's in their press statement said the wrong name, so now the story has to say was affectionately referred to as Jim.
Jim, maybe.
Maybe it was Michael James.
That could have been.
But he invented this, he helped develop McDonald's breakfast menu as well when he fed hotcakes and sausage meals to steel workers at the
end
of their
will.
You will eat this.
We just want to go home. We've been in the steel mill all night. No. You got to try some of this. It's a hot cake. Try this.
He died at his home in Pittsburgh Monday night.
That's sad.
It's an iconic sandwich, whether you like it or not. You've heard of it. Hi, Yvette.
Hello.
All right, you worked at a McDonald's?
I'm still working there.
God love you.
For how long, Yvette?
44 years.
That's tremendous. At the same McDonald's?
Yes.
Good for you.
How many fries have you snuck? Because those are the best fries ever.
We don't have to sneak anything.
They give them to you.
We can have it.
You get paid in fries. Who needs money?
I just
want fries.
I was talking about the Big Mac. People are questioning. There is no ketchup on it. I know ketchup is mixed into a Thousand Island type dressing, but that is no standalone ketchup in my book.
Right, but not allowed to put ketchup on a Big Mac.
Wait, if somebody comes in and says, I want a Big Mac, but you got to put a little ketchup on there for me, what happens then?
I said, we're sorry.
They won't do it.
No. No, you can have ketchup, put it on it yourself.
but the staff behind the counter, you, a woman who's been there 44 years, you can't put it on there. What would happen if you did?
No. Well, we wouldn't do it. I don't know what would happen.
That's amazing, because you can't break the recipe of a tradition that's been going for 50 years.
Ketchup, Big Mac. And I've never had a Big Mac, so.
In 44 years? And you see them every day.
I don't eat that.
You don't eat McDonald's?
I do, but it's very limited. I've never had Egg McMuffin. I've never had a Big Mac, never had a Quarter Pounder with cheese.
Are you sure this is a McDonald's, Yvette? Sounds like you've been kidnapped or something. Are you sure this is a McDonald's?
Oh, yes, it is.
It is. All right.
It's the best one.
I've tried all of the above. I love the Egg McMuffin. Even, Bill, you were saying
those are good.
When's the last time you had an Egg McMuffin?
About
40 years ago?
A couple months ago. No, a few months ago.
Isn't it one of you that liked that big rib? The rib?
Oh, I like the McRib.
Wendy's a fan.
I got to tell you, I have my limit. When it's like hockey and McRib, they both come at the same time of year.
Yeah.
And after two McRibs for the whole season, I'm done.
Yeah.
Well, they're on now. So.
I know.
Get them while they last.
When is the
limited time only, Wendy?
The Junior Mac coming?
I have no idea.
They don't tell you? They should tell you. You've been there for almost.
I know, but see, I don't really work with the food. I do other stuff.
Oh.
But we don't know. It just appears. Monday we'll start this.
Yeah, they don't warn you in advance. All right, can I throw a McDonald's trivia question at you? You've been there for 44 years.
I know what you're going to ask.
And the prize is a Big Mac. If you win, you get to try a Big Mac.
Okay.
For a while, McDonald's had ice cream. What did they call their ice cream cone?
They still have ice cream.
No, but they still have ice cream, but they used to have a very specially McDonald's crafted ice cream cone in the 70s. Do you remember what it was called? The name rhymed. The first word and the last word rhymed.
I have no clue.
No idea?
Wendy, Mac Attack.
No.
It's not a Mac Attack.
They have soft serve now and
you
flurries.
You don't want to use the word attack in a fast food.
I guess
place.
Not.
It's a bad omen.
Were they preformed
it
and
was
wrapped?
Vanilla, chocolate, and strawberry on a cone, and it was called?
Okay, you know what, though?
What?
We don't have everything that the other McDonald's have.
Right.
Locations may vary.
It's not familiar to me at all.
Oh, all right.
What is it? I don't think ours had it either.
The Triple Ripple.
Oh, I did have that.
Remember the Triple Ripple?
I never had it.
Yeah. Oh, you didn't?
Was it a weird-shaped cone? Did it kind of go out?
Yeah, a little bit.
To hold three scoops?
Yeah, it did.
Yeah, I might have had one once. I don't like to mix my flavors.
Oh.
Except
well, like
big...
I said, you know, some McDonald's, and like I said, if there was such a thing, I would know about it.
Sure, they would come to you. They would say, Yvette, like we want to try this.
Yvette, I have another question for you from a listener. There's something called a poor man's Big Mac. Do you know what that is?
No, I don't.
It's you order a McDouble because that's from the value meal, no longer the dollar meal.
And then you don't pay for it.
No.
Just run with
it. No, you ask for mac sauce and pickles. Would you do that if somebody said, hey, could I get a McDouble and could you throw some mac sauce and pickles on it?
I don't know. You can always have it in a cup.
The ketchup?
They'll give it to you in a cup, but I don't think they're going to put it on it.
That's what I asked for, Yvette. When I go in, I want all my food in a cup.
Someday you'll need it in a cup.
A quarter pounder with cheese and a milkshake, please.
I got no teethus. Could you grind that up?
Throw it in a cup.
Anything you want that doesn't belong on there, you can have it in a cup.
How about that? Well, Yvette, that's crazy. But you can't put ketchup on things. That's weird.
No, you can't put ketchup on a Big Mac.
Or they'll probably fire you,
I
bet.
You know I'm going to have to try it now, Yvette.
You'll never fire me.
No, you've been there forever. They're not going to fire you.
There was something else I wanted to ask you about. What was the hot stays hot and the cold stays cold?
The McDLT.
Yes. Is that ever coming back?
Well, see, there's another thing you asked me. I have no clue.
Yvette will not work. She doesn't work with the food.
Where is the McDonald's that you work at? Is it on this planet?
It is.
In the city or the suburbs?
It's in the suburb, but it's not a suburb of Chicago.
Oh, okay. Oh. All right.
It's in Indiana.
Oh, that still counts. All right. Circle gets the square.
It's the best one on earth.
Is it really? Oh, how about that? The best
how about
McDonald's?
That? Yes.
You want to hear something weird? My uncle used to live in Florida, and he said to me one time, if you ever want to go to the best McDonald's, and he told me about this one in Florida, and I go, come on, Uncle John, what do you mean it's the best? He goes, I'm telling you, go to this McDonald's. You won't believe it's the best ever. And we went there, and he was right. It was the best we'd ever. I don't know what made it so much better, but it just everything tasted better.
You've never been to Yvette's?
I've never been to Yvette's.
day.
We got to run, honey. Happy holidays.
Okay, same to you.
Thanks for
Thank
that.
You. 44 years.
How about that?
God, I love her. Never had a Big Mac either.
Or a McMuffin.
I know. That's
or so... any of their, like she mentioned their entire menu.
She had fries.
Yeah, she did try the fries. All right, we have to take a break. Steve has the news, and then there's more show. Happy anniversary, Kim Gordon, by the way. It's Bill and Wendy, WGN. This is when music was music, Wendy.
Bertrand, you remember this song? Look at him bobbing his head.
Oh, look at Steve.
We've got this on 45 and LP.
And the name of the band, very quickly?
Well, the song is called Popcorn.
Right?
Yes.
And the band makes perfect sense when you know that the song is called Popcorn.
Melted Butter.
Close.
Oh, so close.
Really?
Hot Butter.
Hot Butter.
Flip side was Potato. You have Popcorn on one side,
oh, yeah.
Potato right. on the other.
Parsnips right. was on the EP.
I cannot get this song out of my head.
It's not really a song.
It is a song.
It's not a good song,
it's
but it is a song.
It's a synth-pop electronic song.
Right. So for some reason, this song you mentioned earlier.
I came in today, and I heard Kevin, was he whistling or doing something? And then it wasn't this song, but that gave me the idea, and I have been unable to shake this song.
Oh, that's great.
No, it isn't. And then you played it on your hollowed out cheeks.
On my cheeks. Want to hear it?
Yeah.
I can't believe that the Gong Show is not anymore, because I would win big money if I could do that on the Gong Show.
What's funny is that took more human talent than the actual song.
Oh, stop it. I want to say that this was like a number one hit somewhere.
It was biggish.
I can't get it out of my head. It's my earworm for the day, and I want everybody else to have it. Kevin, a little more of the popcorn song. I can't.
There was a time. Oh, listen to this.
You do it better.
Do you think I do?
See?
That's quite a talent. I mean, some people can
yeah.
flick on their hollowed out cheek, but you actually can create tone.
I'm, yeah, I guess that is amazing, right?
It kind of is.
What I'm doing
Wait,
for
people. Is that you right there?
No, that's not me.
Oh.
He can't talk and do it. Go ahead.
I can't talk
and
do it.
Do you want to do it to the song?
If you want me to, yeah.
All right. Like, take it from the top.
Be right. like Barbara Streisand and Neil Diamond doing that duet.
Well, you know what's weird is anytime I do it, Steve, I see Nat King Cole's face in the upper right hand corner on my face. Why would that be? I don't know why.
Can I tell you something? I was listening to, I had a Christmas music on Sirius or something
yeah.
this morning.
Yeah.
A Dolly Parton Rod Stewart duet.
What?
Yes.
Really? Is it a song you recognize?
Yeah. It's a standard. I can't remember it now, but I'm
That's
like,
a
are
weird
you
mix.
Kidding me?
Rod Stewart and Dolly Parton in one song.
Yeah.
I didn't think that was possible.
It's a lot of hair.
Yeah, really.
All right. Go ahead, Kevin. Play it and I'll pop along.
Can he do the whole song?
Now my face is bleeding. I hope you're happy.
Everyone's face is bleeding.
Oh, I should have gone to the bathroom before.
All right, so for people who can't see
first.
It. I'm producing that noise fairly naturally by my middle finger. I'm hitting my cheek with my middle finger.
We
and
all
I'm
know how you're yeah. doing it.
Why give away my secret? Then other people will steal my talent.
Mr. Laugh, what's your technique?
Here's what I'm doing right now. I'm opening my mouth and talking. Right. Here's how you do
I'm see making nothing. Air go through my diaphragm.
Nothing on my sleeve.
You think people are that stupid?
I don't want anyone to hurt themselves and do that in an unnatural way.
Right.
I want people to do it in, you know.
I don't want people to do it.
First, make sure you have safety goggles on when you try that.
And so it's a middle finger thing?
Yeah. Okay. For a thousand different reasons.
You know, thank God you've explained it.
I want everyone to know.
I can't believe you.
Well, I'm sure somebody was going,
No one.
Knows.
If you don't know how to make that.
Not even.
It hurts like hell.
Yeah. But you know what? I do it for my craft.
So was there a middle finger.
Careful. Was there a what?
Cheek club in high school?
No, we didn't have that. No.
Can I ask?
Yeah.
when you figured out you could do this and where you first were when you did this along to the popcorn song?
Well, that would be my honeymoon.
Oh, my God.
I don't know. I just figured it out. I have no idea how. I can also do that thing. I don't know anyone else in the world that can do this. And again, I know it's radio, so you can't see this, but I can make a clicking noise with my, watch this. You describe it. I don't know how to do it.
All right. That is really loud. Again, he's very talented with his middle finger because he's using his middle finger in on the other hand, where in between your fingers, where your fingers meet your hand and you're
right.
Right. Is that what
yeah,
you're doing?
Yeah. And then
it's not your middle finger.
No, it's my index finger between my second and third finger. And I'm just,
you're
like,
cracking it?
I'm not cracking it, although I used to tell my kids, that was one of the tricks I could do to my kids. I can break my, watch this, and they'd believe it because they were gullible.
Did you also do this one where you hold your
nose?
Go ahead, do that. Right. It's like Michael Winslow's here.
Kevin, just play the song again.
I have to use the facilities. You're making me laugh so hard.
I'm sorry.
Once you've had babies, that just happens.
I know.
That's when you use your thumbnail.
And it looks like you're breaking your nose, but you're not.
The sound is coming from your thumbnail against your teeth. Why don't people bring you to parties more often?
I'm shocked they don't. You'd think I'd be on an invite list.
Did you?
I'll probably get asked to go do the inauguration. I wouldn't be shocked if I got asked to do it. I'll do Hail to the Chief like that.
Try it.
They're gonna fire us. You know that, right? Somebody's gonna hear this.
My kids listen to the podcast, which you can do too at WGNradio.com, and they go, "You and Bill get paid for this?"
Yeah,
I just got a text from Doc Emmerich. He wants me down there for an intervention.
Oh my God. You could do any song. We should listen, I am so good at Name That Tune.
Right.
We should do that. Name Bill's Cheek.
Right. I think we're on to something.
All right. Well, the whole reason I did this is because I have this earworm in my head, and it sounds a little something like this from Hot Butter. Oh, good, Kev.
There's a couple people who could do it.
All right, Peter, you know this song. I don't necessarily dislike it, but I can't get it out of my head.
No, Wendy, I don't know the song, but I'm listening to Bill making that funny sound by tapping his middle finger on his cheek.
Did you know it was his middle finger?
Well, that's what he said.
It is.
And I believe him.
Yes.
No, seriously, I can do it without any fingers. I just...
What?
All right, let's hear.
Let me hear. That's beautiful.
Those are just your false teeth moving, aren't they,
Peter? Not. No, it's not.
No, you cluck like a chicken, Wendy.
So
can't you cluck like a chicken?
You're clucking?
I have been known to do that on occasion.
That's pretty good. Wow.
That's different.
You got to do it in tune. You got to make a,
What other songs do you know?
Anybody can cluck, but you got to cluck like making a song like Jingle Bells or whatever.
Sure.
What else you got in your repertoire?
Let's see. Let's see. That was Jingle Bells, wasn't it?
Yeah, that was great. This is like The Voice.
Silent Night.
Yep.
I kick ass at Name That Tune. That's beautiful.
That's so pretty.
My wife is looking at me wondering what is happening. She says your next stop is the insane asylum.
Well, you can get a room right next to ours.
Yeah.
Wow. You guys are great. I love your show, bye.
Thank you, Peter. You're very kind. Have a great holiday.
Hey, Peter?
Yes.
How would you like, do you have any Christmas lights and some of the lights get burnt out and you don't know how to do it? We have a Light Keeper Pro that we can send you. Would you like that since you did Silent Night and Jingle Bells?
Yeah, I mean, if you care to, sure.
Absolutely.
Absolutely. Hang on the line, Peter, and we will set you up. This is like the Gong Show. You're
it is
absolutely
similar.
Right. We have a Lightkeeper Pro, your complete tool for repairing holiday light sets, and a Scent Keeper for a real Christmas tree scent on your artificial tree. How about that? Visit lightkeeperpro.com, and Peter's going to get one.
We have to take a break because you, the listeners, have deserved a break for a couple of minutes. We'll come back, and we might still be here. It's Bill and Wendy, WGN. Is this helping you get rid of this this thing in your head where you keep hearing popcorn, or hurting you? It's got to be hurting you.
No, it's actually helping me, because hopefully I have inflicted this earworm into many other people's ears at this point.
That's nice. Yeah.
All right. Catherine's on the line and would like to talk to us.
Hello.
Hi, Catherine.
So here's the thing. When you have wine and there's extra, there's a thing you buy that you put in the top and you pump it to get the air out.
Sure.
Of it, so the wine won't go bad. It makes the same sound. Every time my husband and I have it, I'm like, what is the name of this song? I know the song, and it makes the same popping sound.
But it just it doesn't do like a portion of the song. It just does a one-time noise,
but
right?
But you can keep hitting it.
Yeah.
No, you have to pump it. You have to pump it to make it vacuum, but it goes... And I'm like, honey, what is that?
That's
so
excellent.
Thank you for telling me the name.
Yeah, Popcorn by Hot Butter.
I will tell him. Thank you so much.
Thank you so much, Catherine. Bye.
And you said we weren't helping anyone
today with this segment. People are being helped.
I'm telling you. Hi, Guy.
Hey, Wendy and Bill. How you doing?
Excellent. What's up, Guy?
Hey, are you guys interested in hearing the 1812 overture on my teeth?
Are we?
Why wouldn't we?
Yeah.
I haven't done this for a while, so.
Are these your real teeth?
These are my real teeth so far. It hasn't been going well so far.
Steve?
Is this the real 1812 overture?
Yeah.
You ready?
Yeah.
All right.
That's pretty good.
It's not that good.
I thought that was excellent. What are you doing? So you're just clicking your teeth with your fingernail? Is that what you're doing?
Yeah, it's like cupping my first three fingers with my thumb and just like a...
Are you using your middle finger like Bill described for his cheek? What is that called? Cheek popping?
Cheek popping, yeah.
I can do that too, but I haven't done this in a while, so.
All right.
It was actually pretty good, Guy. I got to tell you,
it was very good.
It's not really good, but I appreciate you letting me have this honor and do this on your show.
You're welcome. Thanks, Guy.
Thank you for calling. Yep. Have a great holiday. Do that in front of the whole family.
Give the best.
Thank you so much.
My only hope is that the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame in Cleveland someday realizes that what Guy does and what I do, this is true music, and it needs to be recognized.
Wait till you hear Kim.
Oh.
Kim, what's your amazing talent?
Hello, Wendy and Bill.
Hi.
I can sing through my nose, and nothing comes out of my mouth. It only comes out of my nose.
Oh, that's excellent. Before you share this with us, how did you determine that you could do this? What happened?
When I was younger, I watched Sherry Lewis, and I thought, well, I can do that.
The great Sherry Lewis,
so
the lamp chop.
Yep, and I taught myself how to do it, and it only comes out of my nose, and doesn't come out of my mouth.
Well, let's hear it.
I mean, we can't see you, so this would be difficult.
I know, you're just going to have to believe me.
We'll believe you.
Okay, and I'm going to sing Jingle Bells part of it for you, okay?
Okay.
Ready?
Yeah.
Here we go. Oh my God, it is the round of the world, and it's the first of the day. Hey!
Wow. And she sounds just like Lamb Chop.
That's outstanding. That's incredible.
I have five granddaughters, and I have a puppet, and her name is Frida. And one of them.
At least you got the order right.
when they come to my house, my one granddaughter says, she goes, "Grandma, do not bring Frida out."
All right, Kim, can we get your number? And next time we do a live remote, we should have Kim and Frida come out.
I'd love that.
That, and we should block it.
Would you want to do that sometime, Kim, if it's near your area?
Well, I would certainly consider it, for sure.
That'd be great.
All right, well, thank you. We can set you up with a Lightkeeper Pro as well. If you have some burnt-out lights, all you do is you stick it into you basically turn this gun on your light, and it shows you the one that's burnt out.
And Kim, I've only known you for 4 minutes, but I know you have some burnt out lights. I'm positive of that.
I have lots of burnt out lights.
Well,
thank you guys. You're marvelous. I love you. I love you. You make me laugh all the time.
Oh, you too.
You brought me to tears today, so thank you for
stay
that.
Stay on the line, Kim.
Should we send one for Frida, too?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. No, you guys take care, and thank you very much.
Okay, hang on. We have to get her number. I got to meet Frida.
That was amazing. That was so entertaining.
Is that what it was?
Yeah.
All right, well, Lightkeeper Pro, your complete tool for repairing holiday light sets and a scent keeper for real Christmas tree scent on your artificial tree. Visit lightkeeperpro.com. I hate to take a break, but we must.
We have to take a break. It needs to happen. All right, thanks, everybody, for checking in. We appreciate it. More show coming up right after the news. We hope it's Bill and Wendy WGN. All right, it's us. It's Bill and it's Wendy, and thanks to everybody who called in and questioned our sanity. We greatly appreciate that. We're at 312-981-7200 if you want to call in or text in. We would be happy to field those texts and calls.
Don't you feel better, though, after you've left?
Yes.
I'm sorry.
It's the best
we're getting
medicine.
A lot of texts going, how do you guys still have a job? Then other people saying I was having a really crappy day, and it just made me laugh.
Good.
Although someone has also texted, if I may just make a correction, it wasn't the 1812 overture. It was the William Tell overture that gentleman played on his teeth. I know that sounds crazy. If you missed it, listen to the podcast at WGNradio.com.
Right, right. I have a story that is really heartwarming. And it takes place in the town of Red Bud, Illinois, Wendy, which is located here in Illinois.
Steve, have you heard of Red Bud, Illinois?
Yeah, I have.
Where is that?
Well, I want to say it's in around Peoria or Springfield.
Is it out that way?
It was in the news not too long ago, I don't think.
I think this is why.
Was it a storm? Or?
No. This story is not about a storm, but there may have been.
It's in Randolph County. Does that help?
No. Oh, over in Randolph County? Here's the story. Is this nice. What a nice gesture. I go out and I take cars. This is what Jim Ford said. He's the co-owner of Illini Asset Recovery. So what they do is they repossess cars, basically. He says, we take them from people who don't pay. Repo man Jim Ford wears his company name on his back, and he also wears his heart on his sleeve. This is from Fox News. I have been shot at. I have been run over.
I believe it.
Just about everything that you can imagine, he said. Have you ever seen? I have seen cars being repoed and twice
in
my life. Yeah, a couple of times. And you see the people whose car it is just do whatever they can. They don't want to lose their car.
Well, they're desperate at that point. They can't pay for it. Wasn't there Emilio Estevez?
Repo Man.
That's the only place I've seen somebody repossess.
Sheen.
Yes.
Yep.
Brothers working together.
Yep. Yep.
I never saw it live as it was happening. You have.
Twice. And in both cases, the person came up and saw their car being, you know, winched up to be towed and just said, no, I can't let my car go.
Did they? I would throw myself on my car hood.
Because
they can't, I guess they can still do
it. They could still do it, I bet, if you were up there. I bet they could.
Please.
He says, Jim Ford, the repo man out in Red Bud, Illinois, says, I have not been stabbed yet. There's a positive attitude. There's not a place on the map that Ford hasn't traveled to repossess somebody's car for a bank. But he wasn't prepared for what he saw when he arrived at the Red Bud, Illinois home of Stan and Pat Kipping. You know, it was just one of those repos, Ford said. My grandparents are gone, but you know, I could see them, his grandparents, in the Kippings. So the Kippings obviously reminded him of his grandparents. I knew what was going on.
Translate now with your middle
finger? I knew, I'm sorry, the cost of their medications have doubled or tripled.
Thank you, Obama.
That's happening to everybody, and I knew why they were behind. We had to go to see a doctor, a drugstore, and a grocery, said Pat. That's Pat Kipping, one of the couple, the female. That's all that we ever got to do. And now their transportation was gone, Wendy. Ford did repossess their car, but then he got on the phone and spoke with the bank.
What did he say to the bank?
He said these words, ready? I pulled over about a block away from their house, and I called the bank and said, we have got to do something. How about if I just pay and make it current right now? Ford promptly set up a GoFundMe account. He said we raised most of it in the first 8 hours. I think we might have to reevaluate it because they have a lot of people who are going to have been going to ask to donate. On Monday, Stan and Pat got their four-wheel freedom back. It's just like hitting the lottery, said Stan. I'm so happy that I can't believe it.
Is Stan the male? Because you explained that Pat Stan's was the man. Female.
Stan's the man, Wendy. Yes, by process of elimination. Well, Pat's one of those names that could be a male or a female name.
It's
but
Pat.
Stan, you almost always have a guy, like always. It's pretty because Ford and his fellow benefactors got the oil changed and then had the car detailed for the Kippings in addition to paying off whatever they needed to pay off to make the car belong to them. We owe a drugstore $500, said Pat. We owe IGA, our grocery store, some money. And then this happened. It's made me think that there are some very good people out there, and it's not all bad. How about that?
It's really a sweet and touching thing that he saw his grandparents and those people. Like,
right.
You know, it could happen to anybody,
right.
And it could, and it does.
Right.
And then I start thinking, this whole GoFundMe thing is going crazy.
Right, it is. Yeah, because a couple of years ago, you'd be in a situation where you'd say, I want to help somebody, but I don't have that kind of money. What would I do to help these people out? But now because of places like GoFundMe, there's your answer.
I know, but the GoFundMe, and, you know, listen, I know there are terrible tragedies that happen to people. It's bad to begin with, and honestly, it's worse around the holidays.
Right.
And there are people out there suffering, and then there are other people who get up a GoFundMe account, and I don't know what my feelings are other than you see it all over. And I'm very easily swayed. When I'm on Facebook, I could probably make $1 million in donations if I had $1 million.
Sure.
Because there's everybody and their sob story that I want to help.
Yeah,
I know. Then you think, God, if you just give them $5, if everybody did it, we could help. But now it's like I keep finding myself contributing.
Right.
So now I don't even want to look at it.
For a while, when I was between jobs, I worked for this company that did high-risk auto loans, all right? So my job was to call people, and if they were a certain amount of time delinquent, I would have to let them know that if the money wasn't paid, we would have to repossess the car.
Did you do a tough guy voice when you called?
No. Not only did I not do a tough guy voice, they told me there was a certain quota of people that we had to say, all right, well, then we're coming. If you haven't made a payment in X amount of days, we got to get the car.
What a horrible job.
Well, I was averaging one repo a month. Now, they were expecting me to give 3 to 5 a day, and I was doing one a month because whatever excuse they gave me, and I wasn't being gullible, I just didn't want to repossess people's cars. So whatever excuse they gave me, whether it was believable or not, I'd say, I understand your situation. I know that's a very tough place. Do your best to get the payment into us within a month. And my boss would say, what are you doing? And I go, everything seems believable to me because I just didn't want to repossess anybody's car. I was the worst person
yeah.
they could have possibly have gotten for that job.
How long did you last on that job?
8 months.
I can't believe you lasted that
eight
long.
8 months.
So you repossessed 8 cars in 8 months?
No, I think they repossessed less than half of those because the people then, you know, what would happen is once they'd see the truck, they'd realize, oh, no one's messing around. This is legit. So
yeah, but
something like 4 in 8 months, which other people in that agency were doing that every day.
If not
getting,
double that
yeah,
every day.
Yeah. I just couldn't do it.
Yeah, but here's the sad thing. If, you know, you get that phone call, even if you see them come for your car, if you don't have the money, what are you supposed to do?
Right. Then you're stuck, right? Then you're absolutely stuck.
Then you go start a GoFundMe page. I'm not against it. It's just it's coming
yeah.
up. And for people who don't have insurance or they have a sick kid, I fall for it. I really do because it's like I can't imagine being in
yeah.
that situation. But then there's, you know, somebody who needs, you know, a new roof. I can't help you.
Sure, I know. I know. Well, hats off to you, Jim Ford, because a lot of people in your situation would not have thought about this. But you saved people's car there. That was a very nice thing. But now I wonder, once he's done this once, is this the kind of thing where he goes, wow, that was a really nice thing and everybody came out on top. I wonder if he'll do this with more regularity now or if that was just a one-time thing.
Well, no one's getting hurt here because
no.
people who give the money have volunteered to give the money.
Right.
The company, the bank gets their money back.
Yeah.
And the people get to... Boy, he's going to become like the Robin Hood of cars.
That's what he is.
You should hook up with him between your lack of being able to repossess
yeah.
and him with his big heart.
We'd have a great business.
Everybody, you would fail miserably, yeah. but there'd be a lot of happy people out there.
Yes, that's our goal in the repo business, happiness. All right, let's do this. A quick break and then more show. It's Bill and Wendy on WGN.
All right, a couple of texts. Bill, we wanted to know where Redbud was, and neither of us were really familiar with it, about 40 miles southeast of St. Louis.
Oh, it's all the way by Alton? Is it near Alton,
Home of
Illinois?
The Alton Bell?
Yeah, I think that's where the Alton Bell is located, in Alton.
Is that a big boat?
I don't know. Or a big bell.
It's not far from St. Louis, and then a lot of people are saying that someone won a big lotto in Redbud,
Illinois.
Maybe
that's why it was in the news.
Yeah. Big lottery winner in Redbud. A lot of people are saying that. And somebody said that they should be starting. Here's an idea. Let's start a GoFundMe page for Wendy so she can donate to all the GoFundMe pages on Facebook.
That would be a nice thing.
It's hard right. not to when you. I mean, it's one thing when you know someone who's yeah. in trouble.
Yeah.
I think it's a great way to really help people.
No question.
But then. I'm a pushover.
Yeah.
I really am.
Yeah.
I see these stories and it's like, oh, God, all right.
You don't know when to limit yourself.
Boycotting Facebook.
Are you going to boycott Facebook now?
I hear you can find fake news on there. I bet there are fake GoFundMes.
There probably are. I have another story with a Chicago.
Uplifting?
With a Yeah, no. Well, it's just peculiar. Like if somebody had told me this story, I would say, well, I bet that didn't happen. But it did happen. Howard Brookins Jr. will now think twice anytime he decides he wants to criticize squirrels. In October, the alderman for Chicago's 21st Ward went on a public tirade about what he called aggressive squirrels. We've talked about this on the show before.
You brought that up where this squirrel got into a retirement center
yeah.
and was
Started
attacking
people. Yeah. Yep. Howard Brookins Jr., was griping that the furry critters kept eating through the city's garbage cans. Now, by us, we were having that problem for years. The city would issue us two different kinds of cans, one for recycling and then regular garbage cans. And then a year later, the garbage cans had holes all over the place because the squirrels would eat through them. So now they're made of some kind of a stronger fiber. I don't know what they're made out of, but you can't bite through them. I've tried. It's impossible to bite through them. But Brookins had no idea how aggressive these squirrels could be. On November the 13th, the alderman found himself in the hospital with a skull fracture after a squirrel leapt into the path of Brookins' bike.
Oh, my God. I guess if you're going fast enough,
right.
that could cause some serious yep. damage.
Yep. The squirrel wrapped itself in the spokes and caused him, Brookins, to flip over his handlebars.
Oh, I thought he got hit in the head with it.
No. No.
Flying squirrel. It's happened.
I can think of no other reason for the squirrel's actions than it was a suicide bomber getting revenge, he told the Tribune. Some outlets, like the Chicago Sun-Times, covered the incident but simply referred to it as a freak accident, apparently afraid to call radical squirrel terrorism by name, it says here on Huffington Post. Brookins posted about the accident last Sunday to announce that he would be unable to attend events in the near future as he was still recovering from his serious injuries. Sadly, it appears that the squirrel did not survive this incident based on a photo that Brookins has posted.
Who cares at this
point? The alderman has made the image his Facebook cover photo as if to serve as a warning to other squirrels who may try the same thing.
Are they on Facebook too?
Because once one is successful,
they all go for it.
They do.
How ironic, though, is that an alderman is railing against squirrels, just saying the squirrel situation has gotten completely out of hand, or paw, I guess, if you're a squirrel, and now all of a sudden he rides his bike and a
kamikaze squirrel jumps into his spokes.
Right. Right.
Wow. I'm going to watch what I say about you.
The ones by me, please do. They couldn't be more fearless. They have absolutely no fear of human beings at all. All the animals by me, chipmunks are like that. Raccoons are like that. They just see people and they're just like, oh, you're here and I'm here. Great. They're not even a little bit afraid.
Remember back in the day when a possum would play possum?
Yeah.
Not anymore.
I miss those
days. No, they hiss at you. They're big and mean.
Out of your hand, right up to you.
Yep.
It's very scary. I have a certain, I think squirrels are really cute, but they have destroyed my porch cushions on numerous occasions. So whatever
they
squirrels.
Eat them.
Did your parents tell you that if a squirrel bit you, it wouldn't let go until it was dead?
No.
No, but we grew up in the city.
Oh, that's so.
Suburbs.
That's what I was still always told as a child.
Why would
never
they
let go?
If they bite you, they don't let go until they're dead.
But that's not true, right? That's just, is it?
He never found out.
It can't be true.
No, I don't think it's true, but is it when you're a kid and you hear it, you stay away from squirrels?
I guess that's the way to do it.
One of my neighbors told us that if we were bitten by a squirrel, what were the, I'm trying to remember what the animals were. He gave a list of animals. Squirrels were at the top of the list. If you got bit by one, you had rabies, and you had to get a shot in your belly button every morning.
40 times.
Yes.
40 times. 40
that
times.
That was it. And truthfully, you don't have to get it in your belly button.
It could be anywhere.
Yes. Right. But you do have to get a series of shots, although I think it's down to one or three now.
Oh.
It's not 40, but I heard that too,
yeah,
Steve.
Yeah, 40 times. Every
woodchucks.
Day.
Woodchucks are automatic biters for life.
Squirrels are very rabid. They can be.
All right, but what? Like
even rabbits can be.
Yeah, rabbits were on the list, but he said if you got bit by any of these animals every morning for 40 days, because it's biblical for some
right.
weird reason, I don't know why it's biblical, but it is, you had to go in and get a shot in your belly button every morning for 40 days.
Or build an ark.
Or build an ark. Right. Right. I'm pretty sure that's not true.
All right, well, I never heard that if a squirrel bit you, it would stay on you.
Yeah, until
and
it died.
Oh, yeah. Because then as a kid, I'm fantasizing or figuring, okay, if he bites me, how do I kill
him?
Oh,
no.
What do I do?
Just let it keep biting you, honey. It'll yep. die eventually. And you said there's no woman named Stan.
Yeah, I don't think there is.
Barack Obama's mother is Stanley Ann Dunham.
Her first name is Stan?
Mm-hmm.
I didn't know that.
I just wanted some listener pointed
All
that
right.
out.
I apologize.
They have fun proving you wrong as well.
I know. I know. All right. A quick break, and then there's more show coming your way. Steve has the news in just a minute. It's Bill and Wendy on WGN.
Thank you, Steve.
Thank you, Steve. And a happy anniversary to Kim Gordon.
Thank you. I will pass that on to her.
All right.
Again.
Yeah, I can't be nice to somebody without you making fun of me. Is that what it is?
I guess so. Yeah. Pretty much.
Well, that's established.
Yeah, I guess. Yeah. I guess, yeah.
All right. Did you? What did you want to do here?
Let's talk to a caller or two. We were talking about squirrels and how fearless they've become, and there's an alderman that was riding his bike.
A lot of people work their whole lives to be here at this radio
right,
station.
Right, right, right. Howard Brookins Jr., Wendy, an alderman in Chicago's 21st Ward, had rallied against squirrels, saying that the squirrels have gotten out of hand. They've become very aggressive. They're eating through garbage cans. We've got to do something about the squirrels. And then a few days later, a squirrel attacked him while on a bike ride, jumped at the spoke, knocked him off his bike.
It was suicidal. George, you have a squirrel story?
Yeah, but it's not as extreme as that. Nobody got hurt.
Thank God.
Thank you.
we're trying to sell a house, and we've since moved, and the house is empty. But I thought, hey, you know what? Like, how cute would it be if I carved a couple of pumpkins, you know, for the showings? And I set them out front. And forgot about them. So the month that I was gone, they like melted and cemented themselves down to the porch and fermented. So yeah. I came back to check on the house, and a couple of squirrels had started eating the fermenting pumpkins, and they were drunk. When I mean drunk, I got there, they were on their backs, trying to roll over and walk away. One tried to climb up a tree, and he fell off halfway through. Walking in circles and bumping into each other. It was the funniest thing I've ever seen in my life.
I got a pumpkin still in the backyard. I'm going to try that.
Well, how could it get ferment? I mean, I know it gets moldy and just deteriorates.
It had rained, and I don't know if that, like, mixed in there, but one of them was, like, had his head inside, and he was drinking the water. It was, I don't know what was going on. I don't know what they were on, but it was pretty funny, though.
No video, George? Everybody takes video and puts it up on social media.
Yeah, I absolutely recorded a video. I can, you know, are you guys, if you're on Facebook, I can, can I tag it to your, like, WGN Facebook? Or
yeah.
You can do it. Look for Bill Leff and Wendy Snyder.
Yeah, I think right now it has 22,000 views.
I got to see the drunk squirrels.
That's excellent. Well, that's a great. Thank you very much, George. Appreciate it.
Oh, thank you guys. This is my favorite time to listen to WGN.
Oh, you're nice.
Thanks. We'll look for your video. We appreciate it. Are we doing more gong show type things?
Why? What have you got,
Doug? You can make. wait, I don't understand. What's your story?
Well, I was just making the comment that when you're riding a bicycle,
yeah,
on the coast, it makes a clicking sound similar to what the noise a squirrel makes.
Oh, yeah.
They do that. You're
yeah.
right.
Yeah.
And I wonder if maybe the squirrel was challenged by the alderman's bicycle.
It was mating season.
Is this Stephen Wright on the line?
Or territorial or something.
Yeah, I guess that had something to do with it. Wow, good call. Well, thank you, Doug.
That's a great deduction, Doug. I appreciate it.
Thank you.
All right. You know Loretta Lynn.
Yes.
Right? One of the greatest country superstars of all time.
And with
right?
great hair.
She does have pretty good hair, doesn't she?
Big.
And a very good voice. Loretta Lynn is 84 years old, but there's a story about her that she did something for the first time when she was 79 years old. Can you guess what it is?
Well, I saw the movie, so I know a couple things are ruled out.
Oh, wait a second. I'm reading this wrong. She's 84 years old, and she did something for the first time when she was 84. There's a side story about when she was 79. But she did something for the first time in her life at the age of 84 that I would think might surprise you.
Skydiving.
What would it be? It's not skydiving. No. Steve, you want to take a shot?
Trying a cigarette.
Ooh, you're very close.
Smoking pot.
Yes. How did you get that so fast? I didn't give out a single clue, and you got that.
Because you think of something that you'd be surprised. I guess when she was growing up, it was more alcohol.
Yeah, maybe.
Country Western people did more alcohol than smoking weed, unless you talk to Willie Nelson.
Well, funny you mentioned Willie Nelson.
That's who she got high
you
with.
You had to know that he was going to pop up in the story, right?
God, I'm only 53. I hope someday I can get high with Willie Nelson.
Willie Nelson left you a message, by the way. I forgot to tell you. Loretta Lynn is sitting aboard her bus reminiscing about her old friends, Patsy Cline.
Oh, says, sweet dreams.
Patsy was her own woman, and that's what I adored about her. That's what she says about Patsy Cline. She's also remembering George Jones, another country legend. I bought his old tour bus, but he had shot through the roof, and I never got the bus to stop leaking, she said about George Jones.
That's a great story, though.
Yeah. And then
he
it says
shot
here,
through the roof. Who was I'm running on top,
you?
I wonder. Yeah. Willie Nelson.
Maybe. And then talk turned to Willie Nelson, with whom she recently recorded a duet called Lay Me Down. That's on her new album, Full Circle, that came out earlier this year. Loretta Lynn says about Willie Nelson, he's one of the greatest people in the whole world. I know he smokes pot, but my goodness, there's a lot of people doing a lot worse than smoking pot. In fact, she says, she tried it herself just 6 months ago. She says, I got glaucoma, and they gave me one of those cigarettes. This is according to...
The wacky tobacco?
Yeah, as the kids call it.
The pot,
as
my mom would call it.
As your mom would call it. As everybody's mom would call it.
Are you taking the pot?
Are you on the pot?
Right. And that could be taken in a...
Right. If you're in the bathroom, yes. You can say, as a matter of fact, I am. How about some privacy?
Can I just...
And send Willie Nelson in.
I got to interrupt you for a minute. You say on the pot, and my mom did say, meaning... Oh, so-and-so, Peter's on the pot.
Yeah.
You know, meaning weed. But our kids, like, if you said to your daughter, are you on the pot?
They would laugh so hard they'd have to be hospitalized.
But, I mean, that means the toilet in our, when we were growing up.
Right.
But your kids, we don't ever say that.
Right. But
you know
a generation
what I mean?
Ago.
Everybody used that term.
Yeah. And, like, my parents would whisper it. They'd go, like... They go, you know, Christopher? And I go, yeah, Christopher down the block? Yeah. And then there'd be a moment, and then they go, he's on the pot.
Right.
Christopher, his mother doesn't know.
I know, but I'm talking about using the facilities.
Right.
Our kids, my kids would go, what is that? You know, how could that be a double entendre?
Right.
Because no one.
Right.
Just in our old age, when you use the bathroom. Where's Wendy? Oh, she's on the pot or whatever.
Yeah.
Well, and people who were drunk were stoned before.
Yeah.
Oh,
right.
Yeah.
Right.
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 So now
stone drunk.
Stoned would only refer to now as too many drugs.
People on the pot.
But then, yeah, definitely people on the pot for sure. Right. So here's what she says. Loretta Lynn.
Do we have to give our money back for this show,
yeah,
too?
Yeah. Everyone's getting refunded. Everyone's practice show. Today's a practice show. This is why CLTV isn't interested in us, by the way. If you were CLTV, you couldn't run the show.
They're like checking the camera angles right now. And
right.
They're like, no.
Right.
No.
Right. They'd put gauze over the lens if you were on CLTV.
Good. They'd get rid of some of my wrinkles. Who was it that had Vaseline on the camera that was rumored to
be? Well, Sybil Shepherd did.
Yes, during
and
Moonlighting.
And Barbara Walters did, too.
They should they put would... more.
Oh, come on.
That's CLTV.
Loretta Lynn told People Magazine... No. Recent pot user Loretta Lynn said, I took one smoke off of it, and it hit me right here in the chest. It's like I had died. Glaucoma is just going to have to take over, she said.
Oh, she didn't like the
weed.
Well,
that's too bad.
Doesn't seem like that she didn't like...
Well, maybe it's too strong. I imagine Willie Nelson's got some pretty strong weed. Seriously.
I don't think they make stronger than they give Willie Nelson.
That's what I mean. This is... And remember in the old days when we were growing up and we didn't have DARE, but we had people, usually the guidance counselor, that would talk about drugs. And it's like, you don't get high your first time. It takes you a couple of times. That's not true.
Oh, I don't remember them saying that. That was part of the presentation?
Well, it was just what I heard. You don't get high the first time.
Oh.
Well, evidently, Loretta Lynn
wouldn't that encourage kids to try a second and third time?
Yeah, it would, wouldn't it? That's a weird
thing.
Maybe
it wasn't the guidance counselor who said it. Maybe it was somebody else.
A guy named Benny.
Yeah, some guy wanted to sell you the second one.
Benny the Snake. Was it Benny the Snake who told you that?
Did he go to your school, too?
Yeah, Benny the Snake did.
Is there a Benny the Snake at most schools?
Yeah, there's one
of those.
It's
a franchise.
And a kid who plays popcorn on his cheeks.
With his middle finger, Steve?
Yeah.
Could be the middle finger.
Yeah, yeah. But that may be one of the things that the 84-year-old country queen has given up on. Despite a fall that put her in the hospital last August, Loretta Lynn is still touring and writing new songs and releasing albums. I'm not a country fan per se, but I always liked Loretta Lynn. I always thought she was very pretty and she had a good singing voice. Didn't you, Steve?
Well, I lived in an area where we heard a lot of Loretta Lynn.
Oh, yeah.
So you got sick of it?
She and Conway Twitty when they would do their duets.
It's only make-believe.
But yeah. I will say this. I saw the first ever Farm Aid in Champaign. Yeah, I did. I was there. And she performed. It was really cool to see her.
I never liked country music, so I thought. But like you mentioned, Patsy Cline.
Yeah.
I loved her. I like the old classic country singers, not like the Garth Brooks and the Big and Small. What are their names?
Big and Small.
Big and Rich.
Big and Small's a clothing store.
Big and Lots.
But like, I'm not into that kind. That to me is not real country. That's country rock, and they couldn't make it in rock and roll, so they thought, let's try this.
What about Mumford and
Sons? I like them, but see that I like Lynyrd Skynyrd too, so it's like, I think I just like the twang.
Yeah.
Honestly.
Yeah, but that's likable.
Yeah.
Right? There's something to that. But Loretta Lynn used to come on with Johnny Carson all the time, and she told great stories, and she had real sparkly eyes.
She was beautiful. Still is.
If I liked country music, I'd go see Loretta Lynn.
You were smitten.
I was kind of smitten. And then, remember her sister was popular, Crystal Gayle, for a little while?
Don't it make my brown eyes blue?
Yeah, that was
her. Wait a minute. That's your sister?
Yeah. Her much younger, like, I think there's like 25 years difference.
I must have forgotten that.
Crystal Gayle.
Phil just likes to whip out trivia to show what he knows.
Oh, no, I know something ridiculous about Crystal. Can I share this with you? I
thought you just did.
Crystal Gayle was named after the Crystal Hamburger chain in the South. There's a bunch of, you know, like McDonald's or Wendy's or Burger King. There's a bunch of hamburger places in the South named
Wendy's,
Crystal.
Look at me.
I guess I shouldn't say. Can you imagine somebody having the same name as a hamburger place? Ridiculous, right? But she was named after the Crystal Hamburger chain.
I didn't know that.
Yeah, it's true.
Why?
I don't know.
I was named after Peter Pan. I don't want anybody to think for a minute that I was named after the redheaded little girl.
No. One thinks that.
You're Big Jeffy.
Right.
Little Carl.
Big and little.
What's Big Jeffy?
That's a hamburger chain, isn't it?
No, Burger Chef and Jeff.
Big Jeffy.
That's not a hamburger chain, Steve.
Oh, that was my friend.
Yeah, that was your friend.
That was your weed dealer in high school?
Oh, come
Big
on.
Jeffy.
All right, let's take a quick break.
He was tough.
And then there's
Jeffy.
There's more show, believe it or not. It's Bill and Wendy on WGN.
No, there isn't.
There really isn't.
All right. I find it shocking that Steve Bertrand didn't know that Crystal Gayle and Loretta Lynn were.
I'm also shocked by that. Can I tell you, like I said, when I was a kid, if Loretta Lynn was on The Tonight Show or Merv Griffin or something, I would watch it because I found her stories were very engaging and I thought she was really pretty. You know who else? Like I said, I'm not really into country music, but you know who I always thought was really, really pretty? Was Barbara Mandrell's sisters. For a while, they had a show called Barbara Mandrell and the Mandrell Sisters, and she had two sisters, and there was one girl named Earlene who was her youngest sister, and I thought to myself, she could probably make me like country music if she tried hard enough.
Do you know we're on the air and you're just talking about these little boyhood crushes you had on old country Western women?
Yeah, it sounds weird when you say it that way, doesn't it?
And what a slam to Barbara Mandrell, who was also very pretty. You said, remember the show Barbara and her sisters?
Right,
well, Barbara, I liked one of her sisters.
Well, but she was like the front lady, so everybody was supposed to like. She was the famous Mandrell, and then Louise and Erlene were just kind of behind her.
You know their names?
No.
What were their parents' names?
I don't know.
A dog?
Don and Steffi. So I don't know, but you were by design. You were supposed to like Barbara Mandrell. She was the star of the show, and she was the famous one. But I always went that Erlene Mandrell. She's got something going.
You know we're on the air.
I know somebody just mentioned that. I do know that. Yeah,
I did not remember her sister's names at all. I do remember that show. I was a big lover of the variety show, and there just aren't that many on
anymore. It's sad. We need a new Tony Orlando and Dawn, and we need them now.
Tony Orlando's still alive and looking really well.
Yeah.
He was just at the Arcata Theater, and Ron Onesti posted a video in St. Charles is the Arcata Theater, and there's a video of Tony Orlando going, thank you so much for having me out there, gave Ron Onesti a big thumbs up. He looks fabulous.
At another station several years ago, he came on. And I knew that he was best friends with Freddie Prinz, and I loved Freddie Prinz.
I didn't know that.
So even though he was on to push a show he was doing locally, one of the first questions is, I said, I know you were very close to Freddie Prinz, and that's all we talked about for the whole 30 minutes. Like, anytime I tried to change the subject, he'd go, I got another Freddie story for you. And he would tell me more about Freddie Prinz. And when he left, he didn't want to leave. And I'm like, that last half hour, I could listen to Freddie Prinz stories all day. I loved it.
He was really
just such
funny,
a nice guy.
I didn't know they were tight.
Best friends. Yeah.
Huh. Very interesting.
I went to see him together with Erlene Mandrell. That was our first date. At the Candlelight Dinner Playhouse. Then we went to Dog and Suds.
You have such an active imagination, I will tell you.
Thanks.
You really do.
Thanks.
I don't know if we should break now or what. We're supposed to get ready to roll because Ro and Anna go on CLTV because they won't have us.
Right.
It's the Steve Cochran Show in the morning.
Anybody who heard today's show knows why. I'll leave it at that.
It was fun.
It was fun, but it wasn't TV friendly.
Well, we're not TV friendly.
No, we're not.
All right, well, let's take a break and find out what the TV stars Ro and Anna have coming up next on 720 WGN.